Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. So today might be a little bit of a chop and change show. There's quite a few things going on. I really would like to talk about the monkeypox state of emergency going on, everywhere, even though they won't allow the COVID state of emergency to be dropped. And I think Elizabeth is here now. So if you want to push one, there you go.
Hello, darlings. How are you? Well,
I can't wait. How are you?
The show started. I am good. Yes. Because, I decided the polls had not shifted, therefore I have a cold, so all is well. I'm doing good. We're deciding whether to do the show inside or outside today.
Maybe.
Maybe outside. That's not so humid.
I can't go outside right now. There are so many mosquitoes right now that I want to chop off my right leg. I have mosquito bites all up and down my leg.
I was just going to say, is there any place I can move that has more bugs? Because there's not enough bugs here. Chicago is a big fucking swamp. And the Indians that sold it to us, because back when I went to school, that's what we were told, that they bought the land for blankets and beads. They laughed because this is the swamp land. Take it. Yeah, it's horrible. It's absolutely miserable. I can't wait.
It's not usually here.
No. But you have.
So we have a body of water.
I thought it was an inland creature. I didn't think you had mosquitoes by the ocean, by the nice ocean. I know Florida is a swamp, but California's not supposed to be swamp. You've got breeze.
Okay, so we have this body of water.
The Pacific Ocean?
200 yards away. It's called a slough. It's exactly how you think it is. A slough.
A slough.
I add on the accent on the end because it's disgusting, but slough.
You have a swath. Like, I have a swath of land somewhere. You have a swath of ocean. Yes, very cool.
I think it's slough. Slough is what I call it. Which is like this stagnant salt water, not a lagoon, but it's so close to us. And it is a breeding ground for mosquitoes about twice a year. We already went through our first cycle, and now our second cycle is up in full force. And I just, and of course, Kiva loves walking by the slough. And, so we go by, and I'm not even kidding. I could swat a mosquito on me every like 5 seconds. It's ridiculous. And so I keep trying to get her to go other ways. But, like, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 mosquito bites on one leg because we go walking by the slough.
Oh, goodness. Well, good Lord. Does she like to jump in it? I know my old dog would have jumped in it and then come and shook it all on me. And can we go in the car now? He brought it like a dead carp that was as big as he was in his mouth, like wobbling on both sides. Like, can I bring it home?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, and he had rolled it in a whole pile of dead fish. Dogs love that stuff. That's why I'm glad I have, like, little hamsters that don't – they're dainty. They're like, pick us up, please. We can't walk.
Yeah, the mosquitoes so could probably pick them up and take them away.
I know. We don't have to go out. I feel a little guilty because I'm like, it's gorgeous. I feel like shit, and I don't want to be out because I know it's allergies. I know it is. It isn't anything else. Aw. Get out here. We'll do the porch. We'll do the enclosed porch.
I love your
veranda.
Porch. It's so neat.
I do, too, and I cleaned it. It's been bleached and cleaned and – it's like a rustic cabin, complete with
yeah. So as for the show today, I think, okay, so Mom can probably do her good news report, but she's got some stuff going on, life-changing stuff, actually. And not with her, though, with a friend. And so she may need to jump in at maybe like 2:30, possibly even 3:30, depending on what she gets done. But we'll just, like I said, it's going to be a little bit of a chop and change show today. Because I'd love her to get in here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can ever do her stuff. And, I think we're masters at of winging it, you know, just boom.
Agreed.
This show is completely unrehearsed, unscripted, except for whatever little video clips Daniel likes to throw in. We don't talk to each other because it's fresh and vibrant. So, yeah, we can... Whatever. What is it you want to talk about today? Because I would try to, and I had turned the news on, and I'm like, oh, my God. I finally decided this immigration thing they've been playing, it's designed to make America more like Nazi Germany. Show me your papers. Because everyone's going to come together and decide, this is dangerous. We have to start deporting. We have to control. It's going to be, is everything too much control? So that's, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. When I realized that today, off of one little thing a senator said, and I'm like, oh, you motherfuckers, you know, go to a baseball game and flip each other off. And I'm like, this is the rest of the news is meaningless bullshit. And I'm like, and monkeypox. So,
oh, Jesus Christ. And I didn't want to talk about monkeypox because,
Well, we're talking about it on Fox News primetime here. Yeah, it's the dangerous monkeypox now. Like, oh, of course it is. I don't know. My best friend from high school, we catch up every so often, and thankfully I haven't seen her because this is when I'm like the squirmiest little thing with germs and stuff. I'm like, yuck, I'll burn the house down if you've been in it. If you're sick. I'm like, I don't want that on me. It's like, yuck, are you contagious? That's how I kind of am. It's kind of funny that I'm like, no, we all have rights. And I'm like, yuck, get away from me. I've got cooties and boogers out. She's got shingles. And I was like, oh, my God. And she's out and about, and she's painting her parents' house. And, you know, when she's sick, nothing gets her down. I'm like, I don't feel very good, and I'm in the house for the whole weekend. Like, I need to recoup. If I had shingles, I'd be like, I don't even know what I'd be like. I'd be like, I don't know. Chinese delivery guy would have to be bringing me wine and cigarettes and bourbon, and I don't know. But I've heard that shingles are not. I'm like, yikes, I don't want them. She's got them. And I'm like, is this not the monkeypox scare? Is it just the...
Did she get the shot?
She's gotten every shot in the world. So, and she already knew that there was an extra special thing she could do if she got it in 24 hours. So she's like, you know, she's loaded up with shit in her body that's already going to bring out all this crap. And I'm like, So I don't know whether or not we're just getting a whole rash of adult chickenpox right now that is scaring the whole world because it's the vaccine reaction, or is it, you know, was it cooked up in the shot? Did you get chickenpox first and then it turns into, I don't know, AIDS? I don't know how this little bio weapon works, but it seems to be, I don't know. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't invite you over, and I'm thinking, shame on me, but I'm not going anywhere. If you got shingles, shouldn't be home, because I'm like, are shingles contagious? This is the things going on in my head.
right? Actually, I want to find out now. Hold on. Are shingles?
Oh, my God. But it's so...
shingles are not contagious. Okay.
Oh,
but still,
okay.
I don't want to be I barely want to walk outside when I've got my my monkeypox mosquito bite. You know, I look like a leper at the moment.
Oh, I don't know. It's too funny because I'm just like, now that, you know, COVID was numbers and a story, and I'm like, if I didn't end up fucking having with bronchitis, this is fake because I get sick all the time. But now that it comes to like this kind of icky, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Stay away from me. And I'm just like, can you put a bubble wrap on you?
But, right. Yeah. So I was, we went up to the farm today and we got a whole garden bed completely cleared out, weed cloth down, mulch over it. It looks beautiful. You know, corn on the cob, the biggest corn I've ever seen, right? Anyway, so we're on our way up, and we're listening to, what's that? Can you hear me?
And it's skinny, old corn. I can hear you.
Yeah.
I saw that picture.
Okay, cool.
And I saw,
isn't that amazing?
Is that
That's the biggest corn I've ever seen in my life.
It's like Fukushima corn. I'm like, wow, it's a whole different brand.
I know, and it's all organic. We don't do any fertilizer that's not organic. Amazing. But so we're on our way up, and I was listening to a commercial in the radio in the car, and it's called, it's like on something. Here we go. No, back. Anyway, but I can't find the name of the website now. But it basically is talking about microplastics from cigarettes, right? So it says the little big lie, the tobacco industry's plastic pollution is destroying our planet. Okay, now this is where it gets good. Right, because I've been waiting for them to start doing this because they blame like fads, right? And everybody's just died suddenly, right? So I'm waiting for them because remember the big thing was that these vaccines do not change DNA, right? So
that was the lie, yeah.
Yeah, the tobacco industry's cigarette filter scam could put all of us at danger, all of us in danger. The industry makes filters from microplastic fibers, which filter practically nothing. Microplastics contaminate our soil, food, and water, and new studies suggest links to mutations in DNA.
Oh, my God. So you have to vape now because it's more safer. Or is it
nope, can't do that here.
What about Skittles? Couldn't Skittles have like damaged our DNA for years and years? Throw that in a lawsuit?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my God. I can't stand these people. I can't. Can't.
I was waiting for it. They're going to start doing this. They did with heart attack. Gardening causes heart attack. You know, the wrong position in the shower causes heart attack. Naps cause heart attack.
Leaping for joy causes heart attacks to that poor kid who was so happy he dropped dead, getting a scholarship. Yeah,
nothing to see here. Keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling.
Are we? Yes. Please move on. Move on here. Buy some cotton candy. You know, here's the thing. With removing any sort of knowledge, there is the reason for doing that is that if all you have is sensational bullshit stories like that one, and that's all you're getting is information, you're not able to ever, your brain will never, like, the gears will never click, 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 turn, and pop into an idea. And I thought, oh, my God, you know what? This is, it's not going to happen now, but it's, what is it? Is it cognitive dissonance where it's kind of like, here's that shiny poster of Mao that says, Big Brother loves me. Who are you? You're evil. Go away. You must be killed. That's the mindset that people are going to have. And we are like, we laugh at this, they're like, oh my God, look at this. This is insane. There's a reason they have these things. And that is. Is putting this bullshit out. And then
you're breaking up a little bit.
And will not grow up. They'll be stunted little urchins, drone urchins that just, you know, the newest thing on TikTok news will tell them what is going on. And they'll never be able to think or process, or very few of them will. And that's very, very sad. But that's part of their agenda. And, like, to get back to how amazing having so much knowledge, just little tidbits here and there, like having a conversation now, we'll be bouncing off the wall, all different directions. And down the line, somebody will hear one thing that we said, and it will trigger something they see triggers what I said or you said, and it'll be like, wow, connected the dots there. Here's an example. I was watching Swamp Men, now that's a Swamp People, and now they're in the jungles of Florida, and they're catching anacondas, not anacondas, boa constrictors, by hand. And I'm just like, oh, my God. For some reason, it's fascinating mind candy. I'm just like, oh, check this. We'll watch this for hours. And the mouth, I'm like, how in the fuck can they just every time grab this thing and it doesn't bite them and they're pulling these monsters by tails? And the guy who's narrating, fun fact that the mouth of an anaconda or boa constrictor is teeming with bacteria that causes E. coli and listeria. And I was like, but they're not poisonous. And I'm like, listeria and E. coli. We have those outbreaks all the time in the past. It's been like on the news.
Yeah.
Big outbreak, right? And now having watched one guy come out and do his little documentary on his theory about the venom theory about this bioweapon, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, they have us scared of our water. They have us scared of lettuce. Lettuce is the culprit all the time with E. coli usually. Then it's hamburger meat. And it's like, wait a minute. They could easily be using, you know, the bacteria from these nasty fucking snakes' mouths to pop any type of rash of bacteria infection anytime they want to scare us, to control us. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Wow. And
so are
that
you saying,
came.
Just, are you saying that they're turning the frog gay? Is that what you're saying?
That's my theory. No, that's how your mind will work when you have lots of knowledge out there. When you've acquired knowledge through reading and watching and talking, that your mind can click and click and click with information, and then you see another bit of information, and it's like, oh, God, this makes sense. What about this? You know? And that's how ideas are born, and theories are started, and your mind works. And that's how dangerous information is in news, and that's why propaganda is so important to continue with whatever they want to do. That's my thoughts right there.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's right, that it's, you know, this is a new thing, but it immediately clicked, and I was like, oh, that's very fucking interesting. Because there's no other, you know, they want us to think that nature is dangerous, that the environment is, you know, and it's like, we know that there's a little wizard, little warped, crippled little demon behind the curtain pulling the levers. And this is all a show.
Absolutely.
And that's where it's like, okay, we're not buying it because this does, you know, number one, it's too big of a tale, number one. And number two, your intentions are not pure. And number three, we're not fucking stupid. You see what you're doing. And,
well,
and the
I
earth
mean,
and
some of us are.
It cannot be killing us, you know. The environment, it's like there's something causing. Something else is making us sick as we look up and see masses of chemicals laying in the air that are coming from an aerosol program. And, you know, heavy metals in the air might be making you sick. Man-made. Not global, global warming.
I saw another I've seen it several times since, and they're really trying to get this out into circulation, is that soil can, you know, can cause some tropical disease, you know, that there's something in the soil.
Well, if you think that one through, it would be, there would be fungus in the soil, perhaps. And, you know, fungus does cause diseases. And it's like, it's where you need to, you know, there's things to treat funguses. Some funguses are good. The same thing in your body. There could be
some funguses help out. Penicillin is fungus.
It's not like you're doomed to die from the soil in this fungus. They wouldn't call it fungus, though, would they? It's a disease. And it's kind
of
like...
Well, I think you're just as likely to die of lettuce, you know? But that's the thing, is that they plant all of these seeds, pun intended, to make us say, mm-hmm. oh, well, you know what? We should definitely trust the food in the grocery store more than, you know, doing it or growing it ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because there could be
mm-hmm.
fungus.
Yeah, yeah. And they do. They have brilliantly created a helpless, what's the word? The lady I work with has invalid. They're not all invalids. We're raising invalids. I go, yes, we are. But we're not all helpless. But they've created us to think we are. We have to go to the doctor or go to the, you know, the expert, the food expert, whatever it may be. And it's like, wow, yeah, we can't do anything without their approval. And their, yes, their Gold Star standard ratings and FDA approved and all this bullshit, they have got that in our head that you couldn't go out into the backyard and pick one of those weeds that could be really good. And I did. I picked one and put it in my mouth and ate it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I heard my grandma yelling at me in her, don't eat that. It's poisonous. Because that was awesome. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to try it because it's that plantain, I think it was, that weed with that you can eat it as a salad, and it also pain and different things. And it grows everywhere. I tried the little stem. It tastes like mushrooms. It's got the consistency of a mushroom. I'm like, oh, this, you know what? That ain't bad. Not bad at all. Don't know that I'd want to live on it, but if need be, boom, I could have a salad of this in my backyard. I'm not going to starve.
Yeah.
And I live it to, you know, the swamplands of Illinois. But they want us to even question, oh, my God, you can't do that because there's this, it's all over the news, you know. They got us. They have us. Not all of us, but the majority. They have us. And I was thinking, I was listening to another program yesterday, and they were talking about all the holistic doctors that they killed just a few years before they tried doing all this. And it's like they are so evil and diabolical. They had this all set up so many years in advance. Because if you get rid of any of the holistic knowledge holders of good health and the easy how to go and treat yourself away from the medical establishment, you're fine. But what they did was they started killing them. There's over 100 of them that died horrific deaths. One of them was beat to death with a hammer, and it scared the fuck out of everybody else.
Jesus.
And one of them went to Arizona, and he might still be on their radar. But it was kind of like, wow. And then a couple of years later, we have this. And before that, in between and during, everything that was good and natural was pulled from Facebook. 800 pages, boom, gone. Anything
uh-huh.
to do with self-help. Remember that? So it was by design, everything, the opposition was taken out, fear was put in place, and then the actual, we are the people in charge, we know what we're doing, trust us, there is no other way out of this. That's what they've been doing. And we are
uh-huh.
forgotten that there's so many other ways to do things that they are full of shit. And this is a shiny ball of you know, the fake illusion of this is how happy your life will be if you go to the disco tonight. No, we're going to stay home and we're making lasagna. We're going to read the Bible. How about that? How do we know what to
right.
do to build ourselves up? But, yeah, it's an ongoing. It's amazing. And oh, my gosh. I think that's why, you know, this little ridiculous story of, like, there's a disease in the soil. There's no disease. Fungus, bugs. The fucking earth, for God's sakes, it rejuvenates. It will rain. It used to be, well, it will rain. The sun will come up, and the sun will dry up whatever fungus bullshit. That's why if it's raining all the time and there's no sun, it grows fungus, and that's when I get deathly ill because I'm allergic to this kind of shit. It's when the sun needs to come out for a few days and get rid of all this crap. I feel better, and that's how the earth cleanses itself.
So I'm not going to play a clip, but Jimmy Dore had a great episode this week about it was 17 years ago that Tom Cruise went on with Matt Lauer and was just raging, I guess, against, the serotonin treatment, the widely accepted theory, not even theory, science, that if you're depressed, it has to do with your serotonin levels, right?
Ooh,
and, Matt Lauer is like, well, you're just very, like, glib about this. And he's like, no, there's no proof. There is no science that says that this is a serotonin deficiency, right? And then it just came out, a study just came out that said, yeah, we don't really have any link, any way to link depression with serotonin levels, and that serotonin levels aren't the problem. And that's 17 years of science, quote unquote science that says, it's basically quote unquote settled science saying that, it has to be the serotonin that's doing, that the lack of serotonin is the thing that's doing this. And now we've got this study, right, that says, well, look, it's not that. It's, now that they're actually able to study it, they're saying that it's not the serotonin levels that are causing, that's just a big myth that causes depression. And Joe and I were talking, my husband and I were talking about how, when he's got, he took some neuro, psychology, pharmacology, and, he would ask, hey, like, what about walking? Could that help people that are depressed? And just how he got, basically his nose rubbed in the carpet for saying that, well, you're not a physiologist and you don't know this and you and all of this time, it's who knows if he's right. I think he was right, but on one hand, science is saying, oh, it's settled, it's a serotonin deficiency and these medications are going to help, while on the other hand saying that no, you're just being prejudiced, against people who are fat. You're fat shaming people for suggesting that going out and getting exercise might help. And this is science. This is the subtle quote unquote science that we, all of our doctors have been living by for all of these years. And it turns out that maybe he was onto something. Maybe even Tom Cruise 17 years was onto something, because the science seems to support this stuff now.
A couple things went through my head when you were saying that. Was I vaguely remember that thing with Tom, and I know that if he was correct and they wanted to quickly poo-poo it, they made a big thing about he's a crazy Scientologist and this and that. And then years later here, my question is, who's doing these studies? Because the newest thing now is everybody is depressed and on any kind, all kinds of psychotropic. Every commercial on TV is for depression. And are we that depressed? Well, yeah, living in this country for the last 20 years under this war-torn psychological operation, everyone is depressed. But back 17 years ago, hardly ever people were still out exercising and raising the tryptophan and the endorphins from exercising and such things. But who's funding these studies now is Big Pharma. So I'm like, I can't even, anything that's out there now, it's like, it's bullshit. But science is not ever settled. It's an ongoing thing. And I found when I, God, probably 20 years ago, medical class. And I found it fascinating, but what I found fascinating was how much they didn't know, how much I knew about natural health and how to stay healthy, and they're not teaching that. And now it's even got to be so much more worse now that it would almost be like the Spanish Inquisition in, you know, you're a heretic and must be burnt at the stake if you don't follow.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and that's where they're, yeah, that's where they're at right now. Yeah, witch, exactly. Exactly. And I think, yeah, I think, well, here's my new favorite commercial that I hate is one that it's all nurses. And, you know, I'm working and I'm running the whole hospital, but I still have to make my test and blah, blah, blah. And so it's for college, right? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, that very profession in itself is horrible because it makes them work back-to-back doubles. 3 days in a row with no sleep.
Yeah, right.
And that is so fucking unhealthy and dangerous, and this is what they're condoning. And it's like, you people don't know. What the fuck are you doing? Even to your own people.
They're more easily controlled when they're sleep deprived.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, oh, dear God, if you can't see that these people don't even know how to take care of their own, let alone you. I want someone who's not sleep deprived to take care of me and make good decisions. But then I haven't trained how to, what good decisions are. And the older ones that do question, they've been chased out and just, you know, disgraced. And now we have all these new indoctrinated healthcare workers that, oh God. Yeah. This is,
and I always
really
wondered, you know, my first question with these people, like, okay, so the COVID vaccine, first mandate were healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can you hold on?
Okay.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
No worries. Yeah, I can hear myself.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
I hear you.
So
great.
With the COVID vaccine, the first groups of people that were mandated in California to get the COVID vaccine were nurses, healthcare providers, right, and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the first people who must get this mandatory, have to get it. Very,
mm-hmm.
Always was very odd to me that the most educated people, especially nurses and doctors, healthcare providers, those are the most, you know, the most capable of making healthcare choices for themselves based on the information available, those are the first ones that have to do it. They don't get to make that choice for themselves. The ones that are most capable of making that choice are the first ones to say, no, you don't get that choice. Take the shot or get the fuck out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was really weird.
Well, I think, no, when you're talking about a strategy of war, you go cut the head off and kill the beast.
Yes.
That is your working. Yeah. And you decimate that industry, and you get rid of all the dissidents. They're all gone. You know?
Yeah.
You don't play with us anymore. You're not on the team anymore. You're off on the sidelines. And now you're persona non grata. A COVID denier, just like an election denier, anybody who, you know, doesn't go along with what we have laid out is to be true, you will be burned at the stake. This is the reality of what we have going on. They knew exactly what they were doing. And it really is a goddamn shame that we are just so very polite. That's all I can say, is we are so polite as a nation because we don't rise up and say fuck you and start burning shit down.
Yeah.
When they, you know, we're just, they took over, you know, we watched them steal an election and we politely let them do it. I think it's like, it's just bad. It's bad manners to burn society down. Only the paid actors are out there doing that. Not the real people. And it really is a shame that we have been raised with such good manners. I think I can only think that that's the only reason why.
Well, I mean, I believe, obviously it goes back to the education system, right, where we're told to sit down and shut up and don't really ask questions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do not run. Yes. Do not talk in class. Do not run the hallways. Put the gum on your nose and write a million times out of the board. Yeah, we are. Shame. Oh, no. Shamed. Shamed into conforming to proper behavior. You know, in our society, and I think that was our darn, and they, and again, they knew what they were doing. They were raising a society to be just so, and now they've introduced by design a society that now cannot think and reacts and reacts. The division, and we can't think outside the box, and we're reacting.
You have to spin the wheel, keep everybody fighting.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, and I kept thinking.
Can you hear me better now?
Like,
I went upstairs.
I can. You're good. You're good. This has been going on for so long, and what I've kind of always tuned into was the difference between how we are not strong as a society. We're weak. We went from the 80s when everybody was, you know, working out and getting good looking and healthy and this and that, to we couldn't walk up the stairs. And when I would see news stories of, like, ISIS would be, they'd be, like, bench pressing telephone poles and you know, playing catch with tires and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'd see pictures of our military, and they were using Swiffers to clean floors. And I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to the buckets and the mops? Seriously, and I'm just like, wow, we're far. That was a long time ago, too. And we're even that much more so not up to any outside army. They're strong, they are, and we're capable, and we drive everywhere. We're just so weak as a nation. And even, yeah, they they knew what they were doing all this time. And then go into this whole next generation of very scared people. Well, you know, here we got our middle school kids and high school kids that wear these damn masks on their chins. You see the parents, and there'll always be one kid that has it on. It's like, because it's what they did at school. It was like, nobody wants to be the outcast. That was the cool thing to do. They all did it. And you can't get to get them off.
Well, we can. We can.
We're having a hard time. And continue with this. If this continues to, if we don't just say, get that fucking thing off your face now, this is, you're done with this. We're going to have a very scared population of people walking around with masks, afraid of a germ still. Any kind of germ.
Okay, so this is a fun story, actually. A neighbor, awesome family, love them to death. I would never want to have any kind of issue with them, right? Yesterday is we're walking up the stairs to our little apartment complex. He's, you know, walking down, and it's the dad. He's got a mask on, right? Outside, walking with a mask on,
mm-hmm.
right? He's walking by, and he's like, you know, nobody says anything yet. The first thing that anybody said was me when I said, oh, my gosh, are you sick?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, why? And I was like, oh, you're wearing a mask outside. I've never seen you wear a mask outside, right? And then, you know, mm-hmm. my husband, of course, the middle child syndrome kicks in and is like, well, you don't work, you know, you got to work back, and he's
uh-huh.
like, oh, I didn't even realize I was wearing it. And he took it off, right? And it's so my point is, like, and that to me was a big triumph. No,
yeah.
This person is so kind of brainwashed. I don't need to say, get that fucking thing off your fucking, you know, I don't need to do that,
uh-huh.
right? Oh my gosh, are you sick? You need soup? You know, like,
mm-hmm,
I'm
mm-hmm.
concerned for his well-being. And if the goal is to get him to take off the mask, it worked. You know, he I didn't even realize it, right? So to me, that was a triumph, right? I got somebody who was scared to take off their mask, and I didn't even have to break down a relationship, you know?
That's good. That's good, because people think I'm an asshole when I do this kind of stuff. But
but there are certain people that I don't really want to be on, on a negative terms with, especially my neighbors, you know? They could make my life a living hell. But we've had such a good relationship with all of our neighbors. I would never want that to break down. I would never want to be the asshole to my neighbors, even though I've got a sign right outside, a wooden sign that says, take off your mask and smell the bullshit. So they know.
Yeah. Oh, God. They have made this such a, as everything, it's, please be tolerant. Be tolerant and be kind. Allow us to, you know, virtue signal with our masks. And you're just mean if you say anything. And it's like, oh, you guys are so good at what you do. We got to somehow get people to think. Because if they don't, here, look at, I really think that this is the Chinese trying to decimate this entire country, and they've done a good job, because if they could get us just as subservient as their people are, boom, we're coming in, and now it's ours. We bought it all. It's all ours. Now we just need you to become good citizens of China. And it's like, oh, good Lord, does nobody see what's going on here? By the subtle, we get you to willingly want to be in servitude. And that's what, like now with the vaccines, they have everyone, we don't have enough. We don't have enough. They're conditioning everyone to be begging and pleading and demanding that we get our vaccines. Look what they've done. It's like, oh my God, they're so good. They're so good at what they're doing.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
I never want to, I'm not their friend or anything, but you know, I've said this before that, we really should take note and respect how they've accomplished how much they have, right? Learn from them.
Yes.
You have to know your enemy. If we're ever going to win, we have to know our enemy. So watch, listen, learn, respect the amount of energy that they've taken to get to know how to get us to comply with this stuff. And take it from there, right? You really understand how they did it, because they understand us better than we do, a lot of people.
It seems like it. And it takes more than just saying, I do not comply, and mass non-compliant civil disobedience, because you have that huge section of society that thinks that this is, they're doing something good. And
yeah, they're virtues.
It's a really... We have to be smarter than the average bear to try to get them to see with logic that this is not really, even though you don't, I'm amazed at some people, you know, people that it doesn't bother them to wear a mask and to be like, oh, I didn't realize I had it on. It's like, how could you be comfortable in this? You know, I don't understand it. For them to not even think that this is a burden of any kind, and you're helping, and it's like, no, you're not helping.
Right.
Helping. God. I really want to.
You know what? I had a friend in town for 10 days. He left last Sunday, and I, you know, I don't usually go around and you know, calling people mask tards or anything like that. But like when he was here, he kind of emboldened me a little, if you can, you know, so to speak. And somebody would walk by and like touch their mask. I'm like, oh no, don't touch it, don't touch it. You're gonna get sick. That's not how you wear it.
Oh my God.
Don't touch it. Oh my God.
Mocking and making fun of them.
You're putting everybody in danger.
Oh, God.
My mommy used to always say, "Don't point. Don't point at crazy people. Don't you make them more crazy."
I hope that they, you know, by doing this, my goal is to make them see how silly they're being. You know, they're not even following their own goddamn rules. You know what I mean? You can't touch it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like one of the things, like the biggest things about all of this is that only a certain type of profession, you're supposed to wear a mask. You know, it demands that you wear a mask. And even then, it's only in certain situations. Right. So, nobody got training on masks. Nobody knows how to wear them properly. Nobody knows in what situations to wear them or how often to change them or clean them or any of this.
Yeah.
They just said, go cut your T-shirt sleeve off and put it over your face.
Mm-hmm. I know. I can't. This whole thing is just making me crazy. It really is. There have been so many news stories. Now the newest thing is the food shortage and how terribly poor America is right now. And the amount of people that are going to food banks was the big news story all over the country. And every food bank they showed was just hordes of people filling up boxes of food, but they all wore masks. I'm like, no. Anybody who's helping, they're working hard and they're struggling and breathing and they can't breathe. It's like, no, there's no reason. There really is no reason.
You saw yesterday Biden tested positive again, right?
You know, honest to God, there is a thing where if you test positive, you're not supposed to test for 90 days because they found that you can't get an accurate reading until 90 days after. And this constant testing thing, it's just for theatrics, really.
Yeah,
I think it's, and notice it's all the politicians that are, you know, in a precarious position right now. And I think it's like, oh, feel bad for me. I'm sick. And it's like, no. Or it's like, oh, it's. You know, I'm waiting for the celebrities. Where are the celebrities getting sick? And now it's the politicians. And therefore now they're acting like it's going to be the end of the world on Fox with monkeypox. And I'm like, we're not doing this. We're not participating in this craziness anymore. It's insane. Insane.
Well, and not only that, but they talk about, okay, so there's criteria now. I think it was even put out by Chicago, saying that people who are allowed to get the monkeypox vaccine,
because there's such a shortage. We must have it.
But who are the people that get the first vaccines? Gay men.
Oh.
Or straight men that have sex with men, which makes them gay in my book. But I'm not even going to get into that fight.
I can't even, you know, in this day and age where you can't even, you know, can't even question whether they're a woman or not, we're vilifying gay men. You know, I'm like, what?
Yes,
what?
Again.
They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. It's insane.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but to me, and then I start seeing stories, children getting monkeypox. And I'm like, wait a second.
But you
gotta
remember this is chickenpox, though. This is
no. The people The people who are getting it are contracting it because of gay sex. Oh, but now there's a child who got it. Can we please make sure that child isn't being molested? Because.
Interesting.
That's my first thought. You know, I always go to the pedo-gate side of it. Was that child that got it, that, you know, is being used for fear porn? Is that child being molested?
That's a horrible thought. But that's, that is a reality.
unfortunately.
Good Lord. Yeah. Unreal. You know, the pictures, the visuals of this monkeypox, up until just today, has always been an old picture of a black child, the back and the hands, and it's an old picture from Africa when they had the outbreak. And I'm like, that was smallpox. And I'm like, they're using old propaganda film to push this. And now they've got pictures of white hands with blisters and things all over them. But then they flash back to that black back that's back from the UNICEF days. And I'm like, God, this is not even put together well. And then they add into it, it's the gay community. If you really think about this, this is not making a lot of sense.
It's not.
At all. And then we still don't have any other diseases. You know, there's no flu. There's no allergies. Where'd the measles go? Chickenpox is still a thing. And we all lived through chickenpox and measles. I saw this post about, you know, when I was a kid, we got chickenpox, we got measles, we got mumps. Today's kids have autism, all kinds of neurological things, you know, the reaction.
Peanut allergies.
From the reactions from all the vaccinations they had. We weren't vaccinated. We got a few little diseases that they used to call those childhood diseases. And now anything is, you know, you can't even cough and sneeze without worrying that people are going to be like, what is wrong with you? You shouldn't be in public. And they've created this environment of insanity. And we have to really work hard to normalize being sick. People get sick and they get better. People grow old and die. People have accidents and people die. But the new thing is there's just a slew of just young athletes. And now in Canada, there's 5 doctors that have died of heart attacks. And you know, they were all force vaccinated. And it's just nobody's asking the tough question. And I'm like, I'm waiting for the story to break that perhaps, you know, there's a cause and effect. Can we have some real concern over real things instead of all these made up imaginary fear porn thing distractions? It's a fucking clown world. I can't even stand it.
So I had chicken pox when I was a kid. I did not have measles. 2014 or 15. I started coming down with, I was very sick. I had a fever. I hardly ever have a fever. And then I started getting spots all over my body. I went to 3 doctors before I found, actually, no, I was never diagnosed with measles. I only found out because a person that I was in close contact with came down with the measles and was confirmed. And it was at the same time. And the doctors told me chicken pox. No, I already had the chicken pox. It's like, well, then I guess you won the lottery. Somebody tried to say folliculitis from swimming in San Diego Bay, you know, and put me on antibiotics. And, I mean, just all these crazy things. And so for the media to be, and at that time, the media was pushing it hard, right? Everybody go get revaccinated because measles is an outbreak in San Diego. And so for all of these, you know, warnings, the doctors sure were not trained in how to identify measles. I never got a diagnosis.
That's the most crazy thing is that our frontline doctors, they are not up on really what's going on.
But the media will say that they are.
Oh, well, the media knows. They know more than your doctor. Like even
they know more.
My friend,
my friend that's got the shingles, and she said this is not the first time she's had it. So she knew what it was. And so she immediately went to the doctor. Oh, I got this, and got a test, and she went, there's like an antiviral that she thinks, well, they have, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about this stuff. But if you take it within the first 24 hours, it keeps you from being sick. And her doctor was fighting with her because he's like, this there can't be any, what is it called? Oh, what's the word? Fresh outbreak. It was like, no, this is unheard of. And she goes, I know what I have. Just give me some medicine. But it's kind of like you would think, even with the hysteria that's going on now, that perhaps she would have tried to say, no, you have the monkeypox, not shingles. But her doctor didn't know. She's fighting with her, who she called her idiot doctor. And I'm just like, well, I love you. I hope you get better. But
yeah.
You know,
else can you say to these people?
I don't know. But even, and she goes, you know, and it's caused by an onset of stress. Stress causes. And I had to think to myself because, you know, all of these, by stress, it comes out, but it's herpes. So is, you know, the chicken pox is a form of herpes. And so is,
yeah.
And you know, that very well could be sexually transmitted, you know, whatever, but it is something that once it's in your body, it lays dormant. It can come out when you're under stress. And I don't think I've heard that term, herpes, in forever, but there was a time when everybody had it, and I thought, thank God I don't sleep around because the whole world has a sexually transmitted disease that I don't want, you know? And you just don't know.
Have you ever had a cold sore? Hello?
Yeah, no. I pump the good stuff. When I'm sick, I do the vitamin C, and I do the, you know, the kimchi and onions and garlic and all this stuff that keeps anything from really erupting. So I think
maybe it was near you, but did you answer the question? Did you hear my question?
Oh, yeah. I've had a cold sore. Yeah. But it's been
then
like
you have herpes.
Forever. Well.
Yeah, that's what it is. And that's the thing is that they want to tie it to, like, sexual activity because that's reproduction.
Yeah. Yeah. But so. That's, you know, did we? Probably, and the number horrified me of how many high school kids had HIV. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I always thought that was the nice way of renaming AIDS. AIDS went away, and then they called it HIV, and then they kind of like normalized it, and it was okay. Everybody had it. We have medicine for it. And I'm like, isn't it interesting how this horrible plague that AIDS was so easily became manageable, and then everyone has it, but we have medicine, so it's kind of like the stigma and the severity and the Then I'm like, oh my God, these kids have it. I'm like, oh my Lord, and they stopped talking about that. And it's kind of like, did that go away, or that just wasn't important anymore? And it's just interesting what they want to bring to fore as being the new thing that we all need to be indebted to them for or worried about, because there's just a whole slew of things that could go wrong with the human body and that you could have, and they could treat easily or not easily. And I really do think, like, we're still have gone into the area of, like, barbaric ways of treating anything, where it's like slash and burn and go get the leeches, you know, and then we'll bring you at the stake, instead of, you know, taking and cleansing the body and letting the body heal by good foods and rest and cleansing, constant cleansing, and let the body release the toxins from the body. Instead, we'll cut it out, and we'll add more
And, you know, but the big thing is we're going to cut this out. It's like, oh, my gosh. But that's how they do it. And it's like, there's another way to treat the big cancer that you may or may not have. They may just, I really think that they're like, you know, hey, what kind of insurance do you have? Oh, you got the right insurance. This is what you got. And now we can use you as our little guinea pig. That's how I look at it because
yeah,
it's amazing. Seriously, when we first got out of this lockdown thing, eight people that I knew went to the doctor. They all had cancer. And I'm like, oh, do you now? Really, magically, because, you know, they had to, like, make up for lost time. And I'm like, Jesus,
yeah.
You guys can't. You know, and it broke my heart that they would just, whatever they wanted, they would do. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. You know, nobody will cleanse, go on a parasite cleanse, go on a massive cleanse, and try this, you know, because the doctor says this. And it's like, oh, Lord. And I don't even know what to do with that mindset because they're just lost in the land of authority. And I can't do anything if my doctor doesn't say. But your doctor doesn't know anything, you know.
But your doctor, on the other hand, won't tell you to exercise because that's
vaccinating. Exactly. Oh, Jesus, God. Unreal. Unreal. Yeah.
Well, we have all of this bad news. I hope Mom can make it for her segment because if not, God damn, this whole show is going to be bad news.
Well, the good news is that the vast majority of people are seeing through this. I don't think anybody is going to play this again. Everybody is like, no.
Yeah.
I think if you keep the television off, your life will be ever so much more peaceful. Because I haven't seen anybody up in arms over anything. There's this illusion that everything's getting better. Like the gas prices went down. There's no scarcity of anything. If you don't kind of know what's going on, you would think everything's good. So that's kind of where I'm at. Is I'm trying to stay away from the squawk box and even the news, and just trying to have a good day. Because you know you only get one day. You don't know if you're going to get tomorrow. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm going to have me a good day and not get wrapped up and not let them have my energy. And I'm not seeing a lot of other people. We had a nice little festival the other day. And I'm like, wow, this is good. People are getting back to normal a little bit. Nobody had masks on. They gave away a lot of bikes. Did a bike race here.
Nice.
A lot of festivals. And I'm like, okay, slowly but slowly, we're kind of getting back to normal. But everybody is, I don't know, there's still those few people out there that they're the ones that are like the bootlickers and they will comply no matter what, but they'll be like, oh, God, I hope they're not going to do this again. And like, well, we're not going to do this. Don't just be like, no.
So then just don't do it. Exactly.
Let them do what they want. It's been proved to be illegal. Everything was proved in the courts. And if need be, we'll just take them back to court, you know. This guy here, this governor that wants to be president, I'm almost like, please go run and get you out of the state. And, you know, I don't think you'll get elected, but you could be America's problem. It'll be our problem anyway. And he's he thinks, I don't know if he thinks he's going to get reelected with his, you know, keeping Illinois safe for abortion and all this stuff. And I'm like, I just don't see that many people coming on your side. Because I do think that people love their children. They respect life. I think there's more good people that live in the state than bad, and he's using it as a selling point. It's almost like this is really going to be your downfall, I think, is
well, and that's
wanting to,
yeah. I mean, if we can get the right information out, honestly, because there's so much disinformation that we've talked about at great lengths on this show. There's so much disinformation about abortions and what's going to be illegal, and of course the headlines are right there pushing it, right? Like, medically what's the abortion ban going to do for with pregnant women with cancer and things like that? And it's like, sorry, abortions have never been up for negotiation. If their mother's life is at risk, then that's it, But yeah, so I don't know. You have to get this kind of
Do real people think that way, or is this just some obnoxious little?
Yeah, on this subject, I really do. I think everybody who's under liberal spec,
Or do they repeat this jargon? Do they really think it, or are they just repeating it? Because it's like, yeah, what about? I'm like, what? Because I know one guy, he did, and I'm like, I thought you were smarter than this, but he's still repeating that ridiculous crap. And I'm like, this is interesting. Because it's like a 100,001 hyperbole of that's, do you really live your life that way of this a crazy what
well,
if
and
or
they,
do you just
they
you know,
do and I they're don't... in denial about it. They're totally in denial about it because they okay, first of all, the number one thing that all of these people have in common, they all believe that they don't watch mainstream media. They all believe that they don't watch it, but they all somehow have the exact same talking points in the exact same word. You know, it's nuts. It's like, when I answer all of, somebody comes on and says, this, all of the same talking points off the mainstream media, they all say, I don't watch the mainstream media. Maybe they think NPR isn't mainstream media. Maybe they think that it's, but it's all the same stuff. And it's really, really frustrating. And so, that's why I love, memes, and these little TikTok videos where they're, basically breaking down why exactly these arguments are stupid. Maybe we can get that information out to these people. Maybe. But a lot of times, even when we try to do that, they say, I don't trust news sources that aren't mainstream media, That's how I assume they talk.
I know. No, and that's the same mindset of I only trust my doctor. I'm not going to think for myself.
Yes!
That's what it is. It's like, oh, my God. We have to think for ourselves or we're going to die. You have to have that ability.
I saw a t-shirt on Amy Reichert. Because I've had a friend in town. I have to contact her and volunteer for her campaign. But she posed with a woman, and I saved the picture. I know it. Not even too long ago, even. So hold on.
No worries.
With this t-shirt, and I need to get this t-shirt. Come on. No.
Boy, I'm really getting a nice breeze. This is a nice day today. The sun.
That's nice.
It is. It really is.
It started raining when we were gardening.
Here's the good news. There's no chemtrails in Chicago today. How about that?
There are here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe the supply chain broke down. Maybe only a few people get it. That would be good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
or I noticed that they lay off for a few days at a time. So maybe it's on a rotation.
Because otherwise they'd kill us all real fast. That's my theory on that. They give us a little break and let you recoup, feel the effects, and go run and get your shit because you don't feel good. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good Lord. That has to stop.
All right. I'm almost there. I'm hot on the trail.
I really wish someone would pick up on the fact that How can you be positive and then be negative and then be positive again if you're vaccinated? That's got to be a story. But instead,
exactly.
The story is two senators flipping each other off at a baseball game today. That's the big story. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't. I don't think I can suffer
okay,
through
I found
the
it.
News.
So it's a T-shirt that says, think while it's still legal.
Yes. I think
perfect. Okay, all right. Now I've got some great news. I have some great news.
Your
mom is here.
All right. We need the good news.
Good afternoon,
hello.
Ladies.
Well,
hello.
Happy Sunday, Carla. How are you, babe?
I am not doing that well, so I definitely need prayer and positive energy.
Will send you a big, big healing hug. And I'll definitely say a prayer for you.
Oh, I need that. Definitely need those for sure.
So
it's been
you're gonna get
a difficult couple of days, but it looks like it's going to get better. So, you know, and of course, you know, I'm all about the good news. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound really good.
Okay. So I normally have this up on my computer, my stuff for the good news report, but I don't today. So I'm going to be doing it on my phone, which it will be fine. It's just a little bit more of a challenge for me. Right? So, and there is a ton of good news. Things have been a little gloomish with the economic news, with, you know, bills getting passed that are cuckoo, that, possibility of World War III going on, but there still is some stuff going on that that is good. And if I could settle for a second, I'll be able to share with you. And I plan on doing that, actually. Okay.
Well, I think we'll be okay because Zelensky made the cover of Vogue, so how bad could it be, you know?
Yes, of course.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, I know, Mark. We all stop in the middle of a war to do a Vogue cover shoot, don't we? It's all theater.
Mm-hmm.
The first piece of big news, which I am super excited about, is that apparently there is information going to the courts, and they have arrested a man after he recorded the FBI telling him about a partnership with Facebook, Twitter, to monitor and target certain Americans. In that meeting, the agents offered to pay him to spy on right-wing groups for the federal government. Once he released the recordings, they arrested him, which is very sad, on unrelated charges. I just interviewed Jeremy Brown in jail, and we'll play the recordings on my show. So, in the U.S., the CDC coordinated with Twitter, Facebook, and Google to censor users who questioned the COVID-19 vaccine, according to internal communications. So the good news about this is
I know
that
you can't see me, but I have my shock face on.
I know that none of this surprises us. But, okay, so I'm going to go on the Wayback Machine a little bit. Some of you may watch a show by Sean Hannity, right? You ever heard of Sean Hannity?
Oh, yeah.
He's on Fox News. He has a pretty popular show at night. He's right after Tucker. And he, for years, during the Russia hoax, had on a couple of what I would call top-tier, real journalists, John Solomon and Sarah Carter.
Yep. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they kept unraveling and unraveling and unraveling the Russia hoax for what it was, right? We've known for a very long time that the FBI orchestrated the takedown of a president, right?
Oh, yeah.
But every night, Sean Hannity would say, the brass at FBI, you know, the good men and women of law enforcement, you know, so over and over and over again about not maligning the sort of, I guess, what you, we would call them beat cops of the FBI, the, you know, the rank and file, he called them the rank and file are good law enforcement guys. And they, you know, we're not talking about them when we start to bash the FBI. Okay, cool.
Well, Elizabeth, do you mind muting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, but, and he would say that over and over and over again. And, of course, you know, the conservative side of the aisle is pro-cop, right? Pro-law enforcement, pro-law and order, or at least that we have been. Traditionally. But the question kept coming up for me is, if that's true, if there are good rank and file cops in the FBI, why aren't they exposing what's happening? Why are
Great
they
question.
Sitting quiet? Yeah. Why are they sitting quiet? Obvious, and believe me, they know what's going on because cops tell each other shit. That's what they do. Okay? So why aren't they coming forward? Why aren't there whistleblowers? Why aren't there, you know, them saying, hey, this isn't cool, okay? But over the last month, there's been an avalanche of it. And that is the good news, is that they're finally doing it. And I'm a little pissed off it took them this long to squeak up. But this one, the one that I just read you, was sort of an interesting one. It was a man that the FBI contacted, which, again, that's another thing that I find appalling, using people like little soldiers all over the country to get them to say stuff. In this case, he double-crossed the FBI and released the recording of this FBI agent coercing him into saying stuff and targeting specific Americans. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. And here's the proof of this FBI trying to force me to do it. And then the nasty part, they arrested him on unrelated charges. Okay. So is it possible that the entire FBI needs to be dismantled? And what does that mean for our country? At this point, I'm thinking that there aren't any good ones. When you go to the doctor and your doctor says, here, take this pill, you say, okay. When public health puts a notification out and says, this is a problem, you say, my goodness, let's deal with it. It appears to me in my 60th year of life that just about every institution that we have trusted and revered and loved and served and glorified as a beautiful part of what I consider to be the greatest nation on earth, is corrupt. And that's not necessarily good news.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to do better.
Well, it's not surprising. You have to go back to, you know, who killed Kennedy? The CIA was
they've been trying to shatter this for a long time.
There's been systemic problems, and the corruption has been there. We just don't want to see it.
Elizabeth, and you know what? I suppose I'm coming to that conclusion, but I didn't want to. I wanted to believe in the systems that we have in place because I believe we live in the greatest country on earth with literally, as far as I'm concerned, probably 300 million beautiful patriotic souls. And if we cannot anymore count on the systems that we have in place, it's not a good thing. And I know there are some celebratory elements to it. Let's start over. Cool. It's still really sad, as far as I'm concerned.
Everybody buy a gun.
it's not the people. It's you know, you like to think that the good guys are in charge, but we can see that, especially right now, the good guys are not in charge. The good guys came in and formed a coup, and we're not at the...
Okay. So, you know, to that point, the only reason why we are still standing is because of something called the Second Amendment. And even though I'm still sad over Donald Trump and the way that the last election, well, if we can even call it an election, I'd say it was a coup.
Right.
Yeah.
Agree.
It was a selection.
Yeah. It was a selection. Yes, it was. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. The stuff that he did while he was in office is going to be felt and learned and known for decades, for generations. One of them in particular was his Supreme Court nominations. And even though I hate Mitch McConnell, God bless him, in this particular instance, because he held his mud and we got three Supreme Court justice picks, and they are upholding our two-way. So the reason why we still have a country is because of the Second Amendment. And because even though they'd like to do all the things that they'd like to do, and if you don't like it, tough shit, guess what? They can't, because there's probably 150 million private gun owners. There may even be more. And so as much as they'd like to, I do too, and I'm proud of him.
Well, and two, you know, you have the good guys are in the background. Like, there's a guy here, the attorney that won all of the cases against the school districts and got our kids unmasked. He's running for state's attorney. And he, I'm pretty sure, is going to get in. And he is going to, he's made it clear, people are going to go to jail. He's prosecuting. And, matter of fact, he dug up a corruption case right now that's bubbling. It's only a matter of time before it hits the news. Been doing some very...
I'm sorry, you guys.
In his office.
Technology.
He got caught on tape. So, you know, the good guys are in the background. And they're reaching out to... We're really, really hoping that this next election gets the good guys back in office, or enough of them that we can make a difference. And they know that this swamp needs to be cleaned. And it's very evident that, it goes all the way to the top. You know, you get people in the military, you get the people in the FBI. Not everyone is dirty, but you got to clean the house. And it's not like we're oblivious to this. Everybody knows this. So it's almost like the time of cleansing is upon us.
Yes.
And,
correct.
So
and the only reason that we can do that is because of the Second Amendment. And like, I love when I teach people about the Constitution, First Amendment, they're coming hard at the First Amendment, which is speech.
Mm-hmm.
What do we teach our toddlers? We teach them to use your words, not your fists, right? That's what we do. We use our words first, right? And the Second Amendment is there in case our words break down, which they're clearly breaking down now. There's an assault on the First Amendment, and there's an assault on our freedoms as far as, who we get to pick, right, for representation. I believe that the public opinion of elections has been painted to the point where it's either fix it or the system must, be dismantled. I mean, that's all it is that it, I mean, if that's the contract between the government and the people, it's very clear what must happen if the government breaks to do with the Second Amendment. And, that's all I'll say about that. I'm just paraphrasing a document, I'm not telling people to pick up an, arms and storm places. That's all done by the Democrats. you know. But mom's back, so let's let her get back to the good news.
On that is there are so many people who do know that. And when I was talking about how we're just very well mannered, there's fucking giants that are in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you
guys call
hear
that
me?
Well regulated. I can hear you now.
They're,
yeah.
There.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And they know. So
one of the cases that I'm looking at is one that it's called Bruner. Bruner was one of the cases that they decided as a part of a package in the last when that happened with the Supreme Court. Which again, I told you that even though all that mess happened, we have a bulwark, okay, in the Supreme Court now. And we haven't had that for a very long time. No, you're not going to pass every crazy piece because you can't get it passed in the legislature. So we'll just use the courts. That has been the Democrats' strategy for a very long time. They can't do that now. So there was a case called Bruner. In today's episode, we take a look at a judicial decision which has halted a Colorado AR and MAG ban from taking effect, citing both Brunin and Heller, case which has had a positive outcome post the Brunin decision. So this is the other thing that they do. We're not trying to take away your guns, but they're preventing you from buying, preventing you from buying ammunition, you know, making all these crazy ass rules. You have to lock it up this way. You can't have it that way. You can't carry it around. You can't, you know, so they have chipped away or attempted to chip away at the Second Amendment over the years. And so that court case that just happened was landmark. And it's going all of these little tin pot dictators in these blue states with their stupid rules and their bans and their different things like that. It's not going to fly. Not anymore anyway. So that was good news. So they stopped a ban in Colorado on ammunition sales. Interesting stuff going on. And, so back to my stats. Go ahead.
Oh, so that is going to impede what Illinois is trying to do right now? They've
absolutely
already picked. Oh, so that's the best news ever because, yay, God wins again. That's great.
Yeah, that God wins again. And so here's all their little crazy stuff that they're trying to do, obviously it'll have to go through the courts, but the Supreme – that case is got all four corners, okay, the one that they just passed,
now,
Bruner and Heller, okay?
When did this pass? Has it been on the news, the mainstream yet? Or is it,
yes.
Or are they trying to hide this from us?
No. The Supreme Court case overturned a case, and it was called Brunin, that because they say, okay, you can't buy this particular weapon or you can't have this ammunition and you can't do, you know, so these little tin-pot
right.
dictators, Supreme Court did, and technically Heller already did it, which is the case from about 10 years ago, which is one of the reasons why I love Ted Cruz. But this one solidified Heller. So they have to stop doing this crap. They can't California, Illinois, Colorado, New York. That's why New York was up in arms because, people will die. Okay, these are legal governors attempting to exercise their Second Amendment right, and those are the only ones that get prevented when they pass these stupid rules, laws, whatever it is they are. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So now to the elections. Which is, as far as I'm concerned, very good news. Pennsylvania outlaws Zuckbucks ahead of the midterm elections. As of July 2022, more than 20 states have passed laws banning or restricting public officials, which is just disgusting that they were even taking it to begin with, public officials' use of Zuckbucks and other private funds when conducting elections. This is from the Federalist, which, again, that's when I'm citing sources, this is one that I cite a lot. So it says Pennsylvania has officially banned public officials from accepting and using funds from non-governmental entities to conduct elections. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has officially banned public officials from accepting and using funds from non-governmental entities to conduct elections. Passed by the state's Republican majority legislator and signed into law by Democrat, interesting, Governor Tom Wolf on Monday, the legislation SB 982 mandates that Pennsylvania public officials may not solicit, apply for, enter into a contract for, or receive or expend gifts, donations, grants, or funding from any individual business, organization, trust, foundation, or any non-governmental entity for the registration of voters or the preparation, administration, or conducting of an election. And that's pretty solid language. So they cover,
you know,
all their big – yes.
Can you repeat that? You were just so in and out.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I hate it. Can't hear
yeah,
me.
I want to hear. Yeah,
that
might
be you, though, because I heard it fine.
Okay, let's – okay. Then never mind.
No, I don't mind reading
it. This is really important.
Okay, I don't mind reading it again because absolutely this is great news. Passed by the state's Republican majority legislator and signed into law by Democrat Governor Tom Wolf on Monday, the legislation SB 982 mandates that Pennsylvania public officials may not solicit, apply for, enter into a contract for, or receive or expend gifts, donations, grants, or funding from any individual business, organization, trust, foundation, or any non-governmental entity for the registration of voters, very important, the preparation, administration, or conducting of an election in the Commonwealth. Extra. Also included in the bill is the establishment of an election integrity grant program wherein the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development is permitted to distribute grants to counties for the administration of elections. Beginning August 1st, counties will be allowed to submit applications to receive funds from the program with the size of the grant received by a county determined by the quotient of the county's number of registered voters divided by the total number of registered voters in all counties. Okay, so that means that as it should be, and as we all thought it was, that the government should be paying for our elections so there's none of these shenanigans that occurred in the 2020 election. And the big news from this article is that 20 states have passed legislation almost exactly like this. They're not going to be able to get away with the bullshit that they've been doing for the last 40 years. And so even though 2020 was really, really awful, and we all watched in horror, they're not going to be able to get away with it again. And that makes me very happy. Doesn't mean they're not going to try. But you can't take millions from a company like Facebook who believes that everyone that wears a MAGA hat is a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These people are batshit crazy with their ideology. So that's great news.
True. And, you know, that is great news. And shame on them for not making them across the board. Every state should be doing that so that they can have voter confidence again.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
That would really be, because I know my state won't.
I will tell you, well, and to your point, there's already a Democrat cuckoo bird in Tennessee that the Cochise County election official skeptical of election fraud is screening election integrity proponents from working at the polls. This is not in Tennessee. This is in Cochise County, Arizona. Arizonans applying for poll worker positions in Cochise County during this fall's election are being asked to answer some unusual questions, including ones regarding their motives, which they absolutely cannot do that, but
what?
Obviously they're trying. Yes. Here we go. So it was the Tennessee Star that wrote this article up. So I'll just read it kind of briefly. Arizona's applying for positions in Cochise County during this fall's election are being asked to answer some unusual questions including ones regarding their motives. Cochise County Elections Director Lisa Mara added the questions this year to the poll workers' application, some believe, in an effort to screen out those with concerns about election fraud, which Mara speaks derisively about frequently on Twitter. Republican Party Chair Kelly Ward tweeted in May that she heard election departments around Arizona requiring illegal ideological tests of poll workers and that they are actively discriminating against American First Republican applicants. One of the questions on the Cochise County form asked applicants, what is your motivation for serving as a poll worker? They have no right to that information. Keep in mind, they're going to still try. There's no question in my mind. I don't have any pedo-gate stuff this week, I don't think. Do I? Oh, yes, I do. I have one final thing to finish up with. I do have a pedo-gate alert, and it's from Peta Wood this time, which means Hollywood. Motion Picture Academy member, Hollywood architect, and synagogue co-founder, yuck, sentenced for child molestation. A prominent Los Angeles man was sentenced to 8 years in state prison on Monday over the three counts of child molestation. Jeffrey Cooper, 70, was convicted by jurors in Los Angeles Superior Court in Van Nuys, California, in May of this year after a two-week-long trial. He was indicted on eight counts in 2018, including three counts of lewd and lascivious acts with a person under 14 and five counts of child molestation involving a person under the age of 10. So, yay, he's going to prison for a very long time, and that makes me happy. Okay, so that's what I got today. Again, please continue to send positive energy, prayers my way. I need them.
Okay, hopefully that garden we did today will help.
It did, Danielle. It did. It looks beautiful down there. I can peek over the edge and see beauty. Instead of large biting weeds, people eating weeds. And the chickens are enjoying the corn. They're happy. I'm going to eat some.
I'm sure. but what, you know, I'm pretty sure that was people. People food, though.
Corn
was chicken corn.
Okay. All right. So maybe we got that crossways because it was tougher than old boot last year. So this year I'm gonna throw it in the pot and give it the old college try. I really apologize for coming on late. I do enjoy this time of week with you ladies and being able to share the good news. I think we are moving in the right direction. You know, it's still, again, I'm sad that the institutions that we trusted, it's obviously been pulling this crap for a very long time. The good news, again, is that it's all bubbling to the surface and more and more and more people are awake. And so that we can count our blessings for is that people are waking up to this crap. They're starting to, have zero trust in what everyone calls the mainstream media. They're just not even listening to them anymore, which is good. It's good.
It is.
Agreed.
Try to stay cool and try to just stay positive because there's tons of good happenings and they continue and we can just keep trusting that the outcome is going to be good because we have God. And he's not. He's the same as he was yesterday. He'll be tomorrow, as he always will be, and as he is right here in this moment. And so we trust and we believe that God has us in the palm of his hand.
Absolutely.
You guys have
always with us, no matter how hard it seems to be. I am praying for you. I'm so glad that you came on and you were able to be with us for a little bit. And I'm sorry you're going through some hard times, but. This too shall pass, and you're not alone.
It shall.
So I love you.
It may pass like a kidney stone, but yes, this too shall pass, absolutely.
Yes. It will. I promise you.
Be well, you guys. We'll see you next week.
You too, honey.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Right. Love you. Bye.
She's so cool.
Aww.
So cool. Love her. What is going on with Arizona? Arizona seems to be the most fucked up state in the whole place.
Wait. Before we get onto the bad news again, which there's plenty of, I would like to contribute two good news stories.
Okay, good.
The first one is just a headline. The second one will be a video. So we'll talk about Arizona in between. But
we don't have to talk about it.
I want to. But this is an opinion piece, but from the Washington Post, saying COVID vaccine uptake for the youngest children is shockingly low.
Thank God. It seems to be across the board, too, which is great.
Isn't that great news?
It is. It is. I think that there's been enough out there to put a doubt in parents' minds. And I think that, you know, the same factors, people care about their kids more than the virtue signaling, and more than the, you know, doing the right thing and fitting in or walking the walk, is that they don't want to harm their kids. And I think the big thing was, my goodness, do you want your children to be sterile? That got out quite a bit, even on mainstream. And I'm so glad that people were not rushing to do this, because, that put it through a monkey wrench in their evil agenda, because parents simply aren't rushing to do this, and that's fantastic. I'm glad.
Yes.
Glad. Yeah, we have a big RV that's from the hospital that has kids' happy faces on it and backpacks and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, God, they're offering free vaccines. There's nobody there. And I'm like, thank God, because I was going to start parking my car over there and put a big sign.
Correct. Yeah, direct action. We did that. I did that a couple times with Children's Health Defense, a good friend of mine, Beverly, where we just went in, like, the vans. We just, almost like abortion. We're like, you don't have to do this.
Exactly. And so far, that poor man's just sat out there by himself, and I'm like, good. So that's I'm glad. That made me happy. So that is very, very good. We certainly might still have a future. Because just that thought of the possibility that we would not be reproducing. You know, all the stories of the low sperm counts and the miscarriages and whatnot, it's like, oh, my gosh, do people not see what's going on? Yes, people do see. And that is another God wins moment. Because that would be, could you imagine if we simply were not able to have babies anymore? And that's kind of where they were going, you know, with all the fighting of, you know, we want to kill our babies. Well, you're passively, there won't be any more babies to work. Abortions will be a thing of the past because nobody's going to be getting pregnant. Ooh, oops. Yeah.
Exactly. Unreal. Yes.
What a bad, I want a different movie. I'm tired of watching sci-fi. We don't watch
exactly.
Or just power in.
Okay. Good. So let me, I'm almost done with this. And I'm almost done with this download. And just while it's downloading, let me just tell, did I ever tell you that I am a big part of a ministry, a prison ministry, actually? Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, yeah. And I never hear you talk about that, but I do remember you, and I was like, I like this lady. Yeah, so tell me more.
Well, okay, so I would say that I am a big part of this ministry, but my mom is a bigger part of this ministry. And this is called Welcome Home Ministries, and it started about 25 years ago. And, of course, I wasn't as big of a part of Welcome Home as I, you know, back then because it was just getting started. But really it was focused on helping women and men at some points of the ministry come out of prison on the way to a better life instead of the 80%, you know, recidivism rate that's going on now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just one of those things that I feel like kind of called at this moment to play is a clip from the news. I think this is a, let me see, I think this was published, this was posted on the internet in 2010. Okay, so the only thing that my mom is actually featured on this news story. The only corrections I'll make is that Carla Lamilio is not from El Cajon, but she's from Carlsbad. So that's really the only correction, I think. But this is what Welcome Home does, and I love to play a news clip from a local from our local Channel 10 news about 10 years ago. I'm sorry, gosh, what, 12 years ago? Of what Welcome Home Ministry does. So, are you ready?
Oh, this sounds cool. I am ready.
Okay, cool. Hold on, that was anticlimactic. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay.
I was just getting ready to mute. Are these bugs really loud? Because we got cicadas, and they're, like, ramping up.
No, I heard birds chirping earlier, but I can't hear the cicadas, but... All right, here we go. It's a four-minute clip. Oh, but mute your phone. 3, 2, 1.
Now from the 10 News Communications Center, this is 10 News Live at 11.
The number of women in prisons around the country has tripled over the past few years.
Most women end up in prison because of drug problems, and many come from dysfunctional families. But a North County program says it doesn't have to be that way. Tennis reporter Elsa Sevilla explains why in a special report.
Layers of barbed wire ring the California Institute for Women in Riverside, California. This maximum security prison is home to many San Diego women. Inside every door, two inmates live in a 9x9 cell, bunk beds, a sink, and a toilet. San Diegan Brandy Rowland is one of the inmates.
I had a drug problem, and I got caught with some dope on me.
30-year-old Rowland has been shot and stabbed at least 6 times. Her mother abandoned her at 6. At 19, she was sent to prison for using a gun. Assault with a deadly weapon. She spent time for drug use and has been in and out of prison since.
The worst part about what I've done in the past is that I've taken this life that I have and these choices that I have, and I'm wasting it.
Many of the women at CIW have similar stories. Yesenia Barrera from Oceanside never knew her biological parents, got hooked on drugs at 14 after losing her adopted mother to ovarian cancer.
In the beginning, I always said, as long as I don't shove a needle in my arm, I'm okay. You know, but a couple years into it, I was using needles also.
Barrera turned 30 behind bars this spring. She has spent about half of her life behind bars. She'll be paroled this summer and worries about life on the outside.
I'll be very honest, I'm scared. I'm very scared.
Women spend years of their lives in and out of prison, but Welcome Home Ministries is trying to break that cycle.
You don't use, you won't come back to jail. How simple is that?
Welcome Home has changed Carla Lomiglio's life.
And a drug addict. I was a methamphetamine addict and a drug dealer.
Lomiglio is from El Cajon. She identifies with these women.
My job is to go into jails and prisons, talk about my experience, strength, and hope, share with them who I used to be and who I am today.
While serving time at the California Institute for Women, Lomiglio discovered Welcome Home. Now she's returned to help others.
Who are they going to call?
San Diegan Reverend Carmen Warner Robbins founded Welcome Home 10 years ago. She wants to help women break the cycle to never return to prison.
Their family is not wanting anything to do with them. If they're calling for a place to stay, they call the people that got them in. I mean, it's just a downward spiral.
Welcome Home is making a difference with an unheard-of rate of success in helping women adjust to the free world.
Women, of every 100 women, only 5 of them will go back, and the rest of them we integrate into our community. That is an unheard-of statistic.
For women like Barrera and Roland, it's helping them make better choices.
You have to change your thinking, and it has to start from in here.
Elsa Sevilla, 10 News.
Welcome Home Ministries is already in 3 separate states across the country and in Canada. The hope is to bring the program to every major prison for women and men nationwide. For more information, just go to our website at 10news.com.
So there it is. That's a great description. Carmen Warner Robbins was the person who started it. And, you know, my mom shared this story many times. I've shared this story, you know, but my mom was one of the biggest mom of the Good News Report, you know, was one of the biggest meth dealers in San Diego, at least in North County.
Amazing.
And she's now we're growing, you know, mutant organic corn, you know, that's what we do.
Turnaround. Yeah. And that, you know, the power of prayer and faith in God, it's amazing what it really can do to someone. I'm so
one
proud
of the
last. Of
but
mom.
It was interesting. Let me just tell a quick story, because my mom, Good News Report mom, was sitting in a holding cell in a jail, with a grand jury indictment, federal grand jury indictment, I think. And this woman, Pastor Carmen, walked into her holding cell and said, "Can I pray with you?" And, you know, she's like, "Yeah, sure, lady, we can pray, but, you know, I'm not really sure what it's, you know, I'm just about to be sentenced. You know, I'm already guilty." So she's like, "That's fine." So they pray. And then a few minutes later, her lawyer walks in and says, "I screwed up some paperwork, so this is postponed until tomorrow." And, you know, in that time, the next day she gets in front of the judge and she gets 2 options that's like, you know, decades in prison or, you know, basically an indefinite sentence, but a 90-day rehabilitation program in that CIW prison they were talking about. So my mom gets out, you know, not decades, but, you know, 90 days and gets into a rehabilitation program and has been clean and sober ever since, you know? And so, and, you know, and that is one thing, right? But the true miracle of this program is not just one person's life being saved, but, you know, when that life has been saved, you know, the person who basically saved it, God says, go and help your fellow inmates, you know, the drug addicts, like make sure that they don't go back to jail. Make sure that they've got a place to stay, you know, a couch to crash on. Help them get into school, get clothes for a job interview, get them a bus pass, you know, help them out. Make it so that they, when they get out of jail, that they actually have a chance to not go back. And that's what Welcome Home has always been about and will always be about, you know, regardless of funding or status or anything. This program is ready and able to, at any point, to start up again. And, you know, because it's pretty dormant right now, to be honest. It's pretty dormant. That was 12 years ago. And up until basically the pandemic made it dormant. But it's all, everything is in order. The grants, you know, can still come in. So that's what we've been doing. And, you know, that's just, I really like, mom's having a hard time, but everything's going to be okay because this is like an ordained thing. Like the, you know, that's all I have to say about that. But this is the power of God, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about that is it works. It If your mom had gotten out and not done anything but to think about herself, she might have gone right back where she was. But the beauty of helping other people is that you are now a productive person. You're not going to be thinking about you because you're projecting upon someone else and you're busy. And once you're busy doing something good, you don't have time to be doing something bad. It's just, it works beautifully the way that the scriptures have so many wonderful working ways to help a human being be the best human being ever. And it is by helping other people. And it, you help one, the one helps someone else, they get better, they feel good about themselves, and it's a snowball effect. And that's really what we all should be doing every day on every level. But it, I think that is just absolutely so cool. And my uncle, he does something like that. He goes and he makes makes breakfast at the jail. He has like a little ministry he does with the guys in jail. And it helps. He feels good. You know, he's not like tooting his horn, but it makes him feel good and helps him to be a better person. He's a man of God, but also was a hellraiser. So it keeps him from falling back to his old ways too.
I think that the one of the biggest lessons I learned from Welcome Home came from the fact that the ministry had access to the prison population, and we were able to do surveys, you know, with the prison population. And one of the biggest things I learned from like peer-reviewed, published studies from this data that Welcome Home collected was that the majority of them, I would say that a large majority of them were either sexually or physically abused as children. So, you know, the beauty, I think, of Welcome Home is that you're right. There is an app. Okay, so we all know that there's a population of people that are in desperate need of help, right? But the beauty of Welcome Home is that when you employ, you know, the people who have already been there, who have survived it through love and ministry and faith and community, these people have been saved, like my mother and like, you know, a few other people that, you know, I know very well, near and dear. Mm-hmm. And when they come back, when they're on the, you know, when they're able to take off their oxygen mask, right? You know, when we're talking about the, you know, in-flight rules, right? Like if the oxygen masks come down, make sure you put your oxygen mask first and then help other people. So once they're on stable ground, once they can take their oxygen mask off, then they can start helping other people. And that to me is healing themselves, right? Like the feeling that they get by being able to help others in their moment of need really does help heal old wounds that, you know, were most likely, according to studies, responsible for putting these people in prison in the first place. You know, like there's a lot of reason why people turn to drugs, and it usually has to do with abuse, according to studies. So it's a win-win. The person who is helping gets to be healed of some of their wounds, and they get to help other people. And it's just a wonderful, lovely program that I really wish.
You know, it breaks the cycle. Because, I mean, you know, had your mom not changed, where would you be, you know? It breaks the cycle of destructive behavior. And that's fantastic. And we need more of that. We need more of that.
Absolutely. So yeah. And like I said, it can heal on both ends, right? It's not just helping the people that are most in need. It's also healing yourself in the process. And, you know, I just love it. I love that. And I hope it keeps up I hope we can expand it, honestly. The pandemic has basically put this in hibernation, but that's where we are with Welcome Home. And
I think we should. And expand it into all forms of the community. Because, you know, the biggest thing outside of the prison population is the homeless population. Our society, we're broken. We're broken. We need healing. And we need to help each other. My neighbor, she goes and makes breakfast at the homeless shelter every day. And it's like, God, you are good. She, you know, she doesn't work. She's here from Nigeria. And I'm like, wow, God, I should, if I wasn't so tired, but I'm all, you know, got myself, you know, stuck in a job and time and whatnot. But shame on me for not, you know, doing something like that on the weekend, because it is such a wonderful thing to do for the community. And there's a, just a whole, a swath of people who need our help, and it helps us, you know. So I think that would be a little thing we could do, a shout out to everyone. What are we gonna do? What have you done for your neighbor lately? You know, because that really, that will make you feel good and help someone else, and the snowball effect of the good energy. I think that,
yeah, and it can be implemented. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't necessarily have to just talk about the prison population. Like, I was in LA last weekend, and it mm-hmm. was a voting district of homeless people in LA. Like, what could think of that workforce? Like, if you had let me look it up. I think it's like, it's not a million, but how many homeless? In LA.
Well, are they doing census?
60,000.
No? Wow.
60,000 homeless people in Los Angeles. What if we picked up, you know, 20 of them, 50 of them, and we, you know, bought them breakfast and mm-hmm. said, we'll give you all $50. Or more, I don't even know. Like, I mean, it depends on how much we can raise. We give you funds mm-hmm. and resources, and you come and plant sidewalk gardens, gorilla gardens. It's
mm-hmm.
legal in LA.
Yeah, there you go.
You can plant food everywhere in LA.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
What,
and give
what
them
could
a little
do?
Bit
like,
of a hope.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a
good
thing.
I mean, there's
just
so much we can do.
Absolutely. Let's do it, man. Let's change the world, darling. One little thing at a time. I like that.
Man, I'm
yeah,
working
got,
on it.
We have got, I think, about 200 or so that they have a tent city over here by the river. I think there's one church. They have it nailed down to a church that – They don't want the population to get involved. They, if you want to help, contact this church because they're working with them. Almost like, don't feed the bears. And I'm like, this is interesting. but at least somebody is helping them. But it's like, what are they really doing for them?
Yeah.
I know that there's a certain amount of people out there that they are actually doing the off-grid. They just don't want anything to do with the society, and they enjoy living out there. They're doing it because they want to. Then there's, I don't know how many of those people really are of that mindset, but a few of them I've met are like that, and I'm like, that's interesting. If you wanted to pull them back in, they don't want to. They have no interest.
That's true. And there's also, I don't know about your pop, the 200 where you are.
Yeah. But giving that light of hope is, you know, it's like, here you go. It's their choice whether or not they want to, you know, see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that is a wonderful thing to give that olive branch. I think that's fantastic. And we need to become more empathetic and more proactive in other people than just ourselves, even if we're not in that element of despair. Maybe make a little more room in your life for helping someone, and knowing that there is a population of people out there that do need help. I think that would be a really good thing. I know I still get
I went from being the, oh, my God, get a job. Don't ask me for another dollar. And I stopped shopping in different places. So I go back there.
I was so mad at them.
I feel good. I feel bad if I don't have a few bucks to give them. You know, I look at myself. I'm like, wow, I really have changed quite a bit. And I even gave this guy who obviously they were just all out there trying to get money for drugs. But he's so cute. He was so charming. I couldn't say no to him. And I did tell him, you know, we're hiring. If you just want to go up the street, they'll hire you. They don't care. They want a body. And I said, well, here, before you get drunk, here's a $5. Go up there. You can get a job. And I told my friend, I go, I gave my last $5 to a crackhead. She laughed. I go, yeah. I go, no. It's like the you're entertaining angels kind of thing, you know. I knew better, but it's like, okay, here you go. And I felt good, even though I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have, because they were all like, oh. And he wasn't even going to share. I was not, make sure you share. But no, that was his money. But I was like, oh. I would have felt terrible being that person that says no and just walked away, go get a job. We got to really, it does make you feel good, even though it's probably a waste. But, yeah. And, you know, who knows what they're going to do. But I don't know. We need to be less, we've become very self-contained and very selfish. And we need to break out of that and know that there are, nobody even thinks about, you know, the prison population or the homeless until they see them. You know, there's just a ton of them. They're all out what they call panhandling, begging. And I'm like, well, you know what, if I'm there, I give them what I got, because it takes a lot of effort to be outside all day begging for money. And it's kind of like, you know, other people are like,
yeah, just think what they could do with that energy.
They assume that these people make hundreds of dollars. They assume these people make more money than we do. And I'm like, I don't think so. They don't look good like we do. So, you know.
Okay, right. So
that,
that's what I'm saying. Like, helper. I would take that guy. I would pay him $50 a day. I don't even know. I'd have to, like, that's low. So I'd have to, you know, do a little bit of research. But to just go and plant seeds or throw seed balls, you know, and give them, like, take them and drop them off at a location, you know, and say, I'm going to, you know, your job is to throw seed bombs, which is, I think we've talked about those, which is, you know, a self-germinating plant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you put seeds in a, you know, in a mixture of clay and compost or garden soil, and you mix them up and you dry them out with seeds in them. You throw them places. So you don't have to plant them. They'll plant themselves, but they've got this self-germinating ball, like ball
right,
that they're
right.
in.
That's
and
cool.
You
that's,
know, I'll give you 50
how
bucks.
The animals do it. You know,
what?
You, I feed them.
Well, I'm not asking, no,
people.
I don't really want to say bum should shit anywhere, because that's usually what happens with animals is it's shit.
That's generally how plants are spread is through, you know, it's a natural ecosystem, but that's taking it one step further.
Right.
Like here,
which is why I'm like,
seed bomb.
That's why I'm just as unimpressed with people saying that there's a breast or a formula shortage as a fertilizer shortage. I'm like, come on, just get some chickens, get some pigs, get some chickens. You're gonna have plenty of fertilizer. You don't need that. Get some more. Get a worm farm. It's not even that hard to do.
Or they
even
think
no fertilizer.
Do you think things have grown for years without fertilizer? This is coming from the people that sell
because
fertilizer.
Because there was pig
them.
Shit and chicken
you know?
Shit everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
How
no,
are we gonna feed ourselves without, you know, without man-made chemical
right.
fertilizers?
Coming from the mindset of Monsanto's got that going for you. No, things will grow. You know, my sister, she'll plant things, and she'll always walk away with a handful of seeds. So we got a whole bunch of cherries at the farm, and she's holding on to the seeds, and they're like, here, you can put it in the garden. She goes, no, I'm taking them home with me. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This woman, she will take and just push the seed into the dirt, and that's how she grows
her lemon trees and her all kinds of trees. And she was in Texas, and her balcony was just gorgeous. And I'm like, you got avocado trees? I have a counter full of avocado trees that never grow. She goes, oh, no, I just put them in the dirt. I go, what? Okay, so I got
this. She's a liar. She did not.
Yes, she did, because I started doing this. I had this little oblong planter that had herbs, which I killed them all, but I still had the dirt there, and I'm like, I put all my seeds, anything. I'm like, okay, don't put it in the garbage. I just push it in there, right? Push it in the dirt and water it, and pretty soon I have all these strange little plants coming up. I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. Then I transplanted it into a bigger pot, and it took, I'm thinking, a year or two of this stuff growing. And I don't really know what I have, but it's things that I've eaten. I now have a pepper plant. I have little red peppers coming out of it. And I do have like 4 or 5 avocado trees. And I'm like, this works. You put the seed in the dirt and you push it down with your finger and then you water it. The shit grows. I'm like, oh, my God. It's
right,
so easy.
And tell us, like, 80
way.
Below.
It's in my house. I'm growing the shit in my house.
There you go.
Right. Yeah, but it does work. And I'm like, that's too simple. That's just crazy. He goes, no, I just push it in the I'm like, okay. And voila, it works. No fertilizer, no nothing. Just add water. Seeds will grow.
They'll grow themselves.
And you know, that's kind of why. Like,
just like
when,
Brother Gerard says.
Yes, exactly. And that's why you're not supposed to eat seeds, because they will still grow in your stomach too. And I'm like, or in your canning jars, because the seeds will continue to grow, the cherries and whatnot. And I'm like, why? Oh, because they'll grow. I'm like, oh, you cannot stop a seed from growing. It's what it does if it's in water. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So let's undo the mind fuck that you need to buy anything from anybody in order to grow. You just get the seed. Boom. And it's the seed from the plants that are delicious. Like here, I got some really great peaches, and I'm like, oh, these are good. Then I bought them again. No, these are shitty. They've been irradiated or whatever. So I'm like, oh, I wouldn't save those seeds. You save the seeds from the real food that you know has, like, the good taste and stuff, because they're passing off bad food. Yeah. But those are the seeds. So I pushed them in my dirt, so we'll see how long it takes for those things to grow. But yeah, they're cool little houseplants, and I thought, it takes quite a long time. I'm thinking it was 2 years to get a pepper plant going, and that was just off of the seeds from a pepper. Pushed it into the dirt.
Send me pictures, and I'll tell you if it's a pepper plant.
I will. I'm pretty sure that they're little red peppers. I'm thinking they can't be tomato. Yeah, I will do that. And maybe you can identify all the other stuff I got there. But
the first time I did that was we had a
they kind of made me think that if you want to start growing your food, you really have to plan, because you can't just assume that it's going to grow and you'll have food in like 3 months. This is a project, I'm thinking. As opposed to, have you seen the hydroponic
yeah.
Towers? Those look pretty cool. And this guy's got lettuce going and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of neat.
I would love for you to get one. I want to get one. I have no excuse to get one, because
I think I'd like to get one too. I think I might splurge when I get a little bit of money again. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just to have fresh lettuce. To have those little things that it's just like, oh, just pick your little lettuce, make a salad, and little berries and things. Have a little indoor, little self-contained pod. Like you're on the moon, you're living inside, growing your food. You could just
we have to start doing that. We have to start thinking about that. You know, especially in places not necessarily okay. My area, yeah, we should start growing indoors, because we know that they're probably poisoning the air. So that's going to go to the food that we plant on the road. Now, I think it's okay to plant food on the road. Still better than Skittles or 7-Eleven food or McDonald's, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Not fit for human consumption, right?
And
but
I
indoor,
tell you
I
what,
think, is the way to go eventually, especially where you live.
Oh, yeah, because you never know. It's just we have only a few months, even though the whole place looks like a fucking jungle right now. It's really a great year for everything to grow outside. But I still do wonder about what is coming down when it rains because the sky is just full of chemicals. But, you know, you're still – wherever you're getting your great organic stuff, I'm sure it's outside. So you just have to watch
your vegetables. Yeah, but we don't get rain here.
How is it possible that things can grow without rain? Has it always been like that?
Irrigation.
I know that there was like five – oh, they bring it in. So it never rains, huh? Oh, they wrote a song.
It does. It does. It rains. Okay, not necessarily by the beach. You know, it mists. It, you know, we've got mist and things like that. But the big thing here is that it rains in the mountains and it snows in the mountains. Like, and this is something that I just this week, I'm so irritated when I'm driving on a freeway. We've got these big signs in case there's an emergency that we're supposed to look up, you know, and see if there's an emergency. We're supposed to read what the Amber Alert, you know, or, you know, rollover crash, right? Anything like Silver Alert, right? No, what's on our signs right now? Extreme drought, you know, limit outdoor watering, right? That's what they're saying. So I'm like, this is bullshit. I remember because I was traveling and we were trying to plan our route back from Nashville this last December. It was January. We spent our you know, basically from Christmas through January on the road, and it was, especially in the Sierras, we had the most snow ever recorded in the Sierras, 18 feet of snow. And you're telling me that we're in a severe drought? What is going on? Why are you not capturing this water? You know, because that's what's going on, is that our water levels are severely low. But it has nothing to do with rain or snowfall. We're not in a drought. Drought is a measurement of rain or snow. We are in a man-made drought because they're letting the water drain into the ocean.
Huh. How long have they been doing this?
Years and years. There's something called the Delta smelt, which is this little fish that is now extinct, but they were saying that it was the only place this Delta smelt is alive. Some little fish.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'll finish up quickly. That is the reason. Yeah. That's the reason that we have to let all of this drain out into the ocean is because of this extinct fish. Go ahead.
So they tell you, because the real reason is the stock market, because they've killed your growing, and they've created an industry of trading stocks off of getting exported food from this country and that country. And why they can't make just as much money off of you than they could from importing everything from a different country. And South America for a while was the big thing. Even with the meat, the black Angus that was on sale, that was the wonderful cows from Brazil that were running wild, and that they didn't look anything like ours. Ours are huge, full of steroids. Theirs almost look like they're going to die, but it's good meat. Now they're going right back to we're going to buy our cows from Brazil again, which is a better quality of meat. It's going to be more expensive. But why can't we have ours?
And why can't you make just as much money?
Because they're full of hormones.
I don't know. I don't understand. But it's all, yeah, they killed you because there was more money in it somehow. And all over a fish.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about it. I mean, they didn't care about the salmon. Remember they cut off all the water? They dammed all the rivers for the wild salmon. They didn't care. And was like, you guys can't do this. The salmon, they're going to die. Oh, we don't care about salmon. Salmon's the best fish in the world.
We feed our dog salmon.
So that we have to get it from, you know, this country and that country, and, you know, the wild Alaska salmon or the over the seas, whatever ocean it comes from. But it would come through our rivers of the West. But they dammed it all so that they couldn't do that anymore. And that was the fucking dumbest thing. And where was PETA during then? But that was a manipulation of the stock market and our food. But that was quite a few years ago. Yeah.
I don't even remember
but
that. That's an amazing story. I said, I don't even remember that. That's an amazing story.
Oh, God. Google it. It was quite a few years ago. And they were just like... Yeah,
Babe?
Yeah. They kept on putting all these
marketing.
Dams.
No good.
The wild salmon.
I'm sorry, my husband just walked in. I was telling him because honestly, we feed our dog salmon virtually every day because you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's. So I was just like, he just walked in, so I was like, Babe, we gotta look into
yep.
our salmon because it's expensive.
But No, that was a thing. It was, maybe 20 years ago. I don't know, remember, but that was when they first started manipulating the water to go towards, you know, that's when they started selling water to parts of the country that literally, if you can't survive, your town can't be there, like Las Vegas. All the water would go there instead of going to the irrigation fields. And it was kind of like, why can't the water stay where it's at, where it's always been, in the wild salmon that migrate? No, we got to do this, and this. And it was all, you know, now that we know that how they manipulate the stock market by that kind of things. But, yeah, all of your
so why wouldn't they manipulate our food?
The environmentalists screamed, but nothing was done. But they got that little fish stave for you guys and decimated the whole fucking state. It's insane, but that's the power of the stock market and the big companies, and then you get Big Ag, you know, and all of this. What did you ask me? I'm sorry. Why did what?
Well, no, I don't remember what I asked you. But
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But but honestly, that yeah, Big Ag. Like I feel like there is a big push to get rid of Big Ag. And honestly, like, even though, I mean, I do still have some liberal tendencies, and I really do mm-hmm. believe that Big Ag needs to go away. They're the ones that are causing, you know, saying that, oh, I can't get my, Monsanto,
they
you
do,
know, we're going to have to raise the price.
If they could do it without, God, even since the early 80s, they have been going after the small farmers. I mean, you remember they made a big movie
yes.
about it. Mel Gibson's Spacek was in it. They had Farm Aid, but that didn't help anything. And there are very, very few small family farms left out there. And Big Ag has
Anywhere.
Taken over. Yeah. And now if you want to go for the push to get rid of Big Ag, you're basically not going to be growing any food in this country. It's going to be coming from another country. And they've probably
No, I don't believe
decided.
That. That's actually my biggest message of this show is that if we can come together and take back three resources first, starting with food, you know, and especially in California.
Food.
We can
yeah.
do it without Monsanto. We can do it naturally, and California should be leading the way on how
yeah.
to feed our communities. We can still,
yeah.
at this point, do it on the side of the road, which is my whole, you know, which is a big point I've been trying to make, is that we communities just from the scraps of land around. We don't need to,
yeah.
to you know, rely on big ag, especially in California. Now,
yeah.
take this, you know, even this, like, the Green New Deal where we have to get rid of cows because they fart, you know?
Huh.
What if we spread those cows out, you know, like two cows here, three cows here, depending on availability of land? I don't think we won't need these mass fertilization programs. We won't need to do hormones. We won't need to do any of that stuff. And so, honestly, like the fact that, and again, coming back to my very liberal, past mindset, this is one thing that I feel like we can't let go of, is that if we can feed our communities, one, you know, community by community, we wouldn't have to have these massive farms that potentially could be impacting, you know, the environment. I don't believe in climate change, but I believe in climate contamination. And I can definitely mm-hmm. be persuaded that these big farms are contributing to climate contamination. I think we had a red tide the size of Texas off the coast of Florida because of a pig farm. But we can
the runoff
spread it
then,
out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why I'm saying that I'm not going to be super disappointed when these big, you know, Monsanto, GMO, Bill Gates farms go out of business, because we
mm-hmm.
can't do it ourselves. This is another element. This is another topic to be empowered by. You know, we don't have to be, you know, in fear that our babies are going to starve because formula factories are closing down. Just like we don't have to, you know, live in fear that we're going to starve because big ag goes out of business. I'm looking forward to big ag going out of business. And that is contrary to the Republican side of it, the right-wing side of it, and, ironically, Bill Gates is left-wing, so he's buying up all this farmland. This is my contrary view to both sides, that this industry needs to go away, not be captured by another minority group of people. The majority,
mm-hmm.
If the majority could take back food production, we would be well on our way to fixing this problem.
We would be free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing they don't want.
That's what they don't want. It's all, now that we know what's going on, it's all about control. It's not about anything other than control. And if we refuse to be controlled, game over. Otherwise, they're going to have, I don't know how many police are going to come and make sure that you're not growing food in your backyard. Do they have enough? I wonder, you know. And at this stage of the game, it's so dangerous right now that police don't even want to get out of their cars when children are running wild on the streets. They're not going to worry about your backyard garden. So please have at it. And, you know, it is fascinating that they've got us kind of like the new shiny ball is this nonstop commercial for these pills, weight loss pills, and then the New Balance diet pills. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting tired of watching these commercials. And I'm like, they're just boom, 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 brainwashing with us. And I'm like, oh, my God. They are getting us accustomed to getting our nutrients from a little pill because we're that lazy. And I'm like, oh, no. Let us not become people that just eat what they tell us to eat because it's healthy. It's like there's no substitute for real vegetables. You can't just get everything in this little pill. But they got that going.
Right.
I'm like, oh, all I can see is Soylent Green. Soylent Green is happening right on Fox News every night because that's the only commercial they play. And I'm like, oh, God, wake up, people. Wake up to this. But, yeah, the big push. And it's like, oh, you can hear the farm report, the guy that does the farm report. The beginning of the year when all this stuff was happening, they had this little scary sound in their voice when they were starting to report these things. Like they knew something bad was happening. And they're like, but we can't let this happen. I'm like, no, we can't. We have to stand up and not allow this to happen, guys. And then I stopped. I don't listen to the farm report anymore. But yeah, magically, all the laws have been done, and I don't know how many little farmers can continue doing what they're doing right now, especially when they have this espionage going on where they're setting on fire anything that would help them to grow, like this little fertilizer store that they set on fire a few weeks ago down here. And then the price of food for these poor, it tripled. The price of feed to grow your chicken.
I think that's kind of my point, is that if anybody is falling for that fertilizer story, they probably fell for the baby formula shortage too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have plenty of nursing mothers, just like we have plenty of, you know, cow, pig, and chicken shit. We do not have a fertilizer shortage. This is a manufactured crisis.
If most of the big A have all these things, animals inside of these big structures, are they going to have access to the manure? You know, does every little guy have enough manure on his farm? I'm just wondering.
I mean, I've got enough chicken shit to feed my...
That's a good... Well, then, we're going to have to outsource. We're going to have to share that shit. I don't know. But
cooperate? Absolutely. I'm so looking forward to it. And we're also trying to get roosters again so we can just procreate our fertilizer, food...
It's like they diabolically are trying to, I can't even believe it. And it's like, are you going to have the rooster police out there too? You know, are they going to see how many? And I know that they're trying to get people to do a census on how many animals they have on their farms. And it's kind of like, if these guys just simply do not comply with this and see how crazy it is, it won't work. And instead of worrying about so much about what's going on at school board meetings, worry more about what's going on in the local farmers, what kind of a hell their existence is right now. We really need to, like, revamp and focus on what's important, stand up for them. Because nobody's been standing up for them for forever. And we went the way of Big Ag came and took over. Yeah, we need to pull our heads out of our ass and not worry about all this nonsense and worry about the real life kind of things. I watched this movie. I think it was the Outlaw Josie Wales, and it was right about when the Civil War was about to end. And the big thing was it was a different movie. Anyways, it was Civil War time, and they decided to make their own county, and they made their own constitution, and it was three basic things. What every man put in the ground was theirs, because they were doing the taxation without representation. They'd come in and steal all their crops. The renegade Confederate soldiers would come in and just pillage every town and leave them with nothing. The basics was what I plant is mine, my land is mine, and you stay the fuck off it, and I'm free to be a man. And I'm like, wow, we really have lost sight of that, because nothing we own is ours. We have to have a license to do anything, and it's like, what? You know, how far we've gone, and to go right back to how it should be is very, very simple. And I think that we might end up going right back that way as long as we have the Second Amendment, because it's gone just so far.
Okay, I got kicked off my own show because of, I'm sure, the man, but probably more likely my, but we'll go with the CIA until proven innocent. You were talking about roosters. I did. I know, just now. But you said something about roosters earlier, like, what do you, like, because I said we're going to try to get roosters back, and you said something about roosters, if you can remember. I wanted to answer it.
Oh, are we going to have the rooster police come around and make sure that you have, you know.
Carlsbad has the rooster police.
Do they?
Yes. It's code enforcement. They drive us nuts. We can have as many chickens as we want, but they try to say that there's some kind of noise violation if there's any kind of crowing. And I guess nobody told them that when there's no roosters around, hens crow. Like, that's how extreme it is that not, you know, yes, we have the code enforcement / rooster police on our agricultural residential land, but, you know, our neighbors even complain when we say, when they hear a hen crow, and that happens when there's no roosters around. It's mm-hmm. That's why we're signing petitions right now. This is ridiculous. We need to be able to not only have, they do so much more than procreate. Roosters also keep predators away. There's so many, like, our flock is basically unprotected without a rooster. So that's why basically Carlsbad Coastal is saying, no, like, you cannot do this. This is inhumane. You're basically saying we have to cull all of our male chickens. Give me a break. But yes, there is a rooster police in my city.
That's ridiculous. And you've got crime running rampant, you know?
That's the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got no bail for people are just, it's like the Wild West, and they're focusing on roosters. I think that that when time is to vote these people back in, they're not voted back in. That's kind of, you guys need to get your priorities straight here. Unreal. And then back to, like,
and hopefully starting with food, we can get people to realize that. Like, why is it illegal to grow on city streets? For no reason at all. So hopefully, like, at this point, and I know we have the numbers.
It's not illegal to have tent cities on the streets, but it's illegal to grow a little garden.
Well, okay, here's the thing. They're both illegal. Both things are illegal. But who has the majority, the tents on the streets or the people growing food?
Well, then it's all out anarchy. They go to the tent people and say, hey, let's start planting gardens. And it just becomes too much.
Anarchy has much more to do. Anarchy has much more to do with growing your own food and having chickens than it does with what the mainstream thinks it has to do with. You know, we're not talking about burning down cities. Why would we burn down cities when they work? What we do want is food, you know, and that's like why all that's why the American Revolution started with, you know, taxation on food and tea in the harbor, you know, and this is what starts revolution. Let them eat cake prior to that, right?
Yep.
You know, revolutions have to do with hearts and minds. And that's what every American should know, is that revolutions have to do with hearts and minds and not necessarily with violence, right? So, but I want to come back to the homelessness problem. You are right. It is illegal to pitch a tent on the side of the road, you know, but they have a majority. There are more of them than there are police officers, right? If we had more people planting food on the side of the road than we have police officers, that wouldn't get messed with either, is my point, is that when the when the majority, you know, rules this, things will start getting better. And that is not, you know, that's not a violent mentality. That's turning our backs away from this violent mentality of a system that's oppressed, that's been oppressing, you know, everybody, you know, for decades. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not really impressed with when people say that we can win it back, that we can just vote harder. Right? That's not, I'm not really impressed by that. The things that we
We need to collaborate together, get to know your homeless community and give them, you know.
And your Democrats and your Republicans and your independents and people that you never thought come together on when it comes to fundamental principles. But I bet you that they will come together on the subject of food. Everybody needs to eat. Doesn't matter if they're Antifa or ISIS or BLM or me or you or anybody. Everybody has to eat. So I bet you we can come together on this one fundamental principle of life. I'm willing to wager my, you know, my life on it.
Right. I am right there with you. And
you know what? We have only have about 15 minutes left, but we have a caller. Should we? You want to bring the caller on?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I didn't know we were still on the air. That's good.
Hello.
Yeah, my name's Joe. How are you people doing?
We're doing
great.
Joe?
How are you, Joe?
Okay. You said you're willing to risk your life. You bet your life? Well, you're going to have to. If it comes down to food.
I thought it will. Yes.
Yeah. It's not going to be any reconciliation because the food shortages are probably going to be very, very sudden in the future. And people will be foraging along the side of the road, as you were talking about, through garbage cans. There'll be looting of the supermarkets, and people will be shooting each other in the street. So it's a good bet. You will be betting your life.
Yeah. Well, I have a gun, too, and a couple big dogs.
That's not going to matter. People have to think realistically. If we're going to go into an economic depression about four times worse than the 1934 to 39 impression, recession rather, it's going to be a hell of a lot different. There are going to be blackouts. There are going to be gangs in the street. There isn't going to be such a thing as an itinerant farmer who's going to travel from state to state looking for work. People are going to riot in the streets at the very most 2 weeks after a blackout. And the blackout will be caused by the government. If you believe in the New World Order, like I do, then that's going to happen in the next couple of years. That's why Biden was elected, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, which is why right now in my Eden of a climate, I mean, I can grow tomatoes year-round here. I don't have a frost. So which is why even, you know, the people here in my city, which is Ocean Beach / Point Loma, where we have the best growing climate, arguably, in the country, that I'm going to get them to plant food and pay them to plant food all over the street, just like I've been planting food all over the street. I'm not talking about people living out of garbage cans. I'm talking about planting peach trees on the side of the road. I'm talking about people being able to feed themselves and sustain their communities, all from homeless people. I'm talking about people that live in an area, whether it's on the sidewalk or whether it's in a mansion, who live in a climate that feeds most of the country of their fruits and vegetables. That's what we do here in California. What I'm saying is that we independently take back these resources, you know, and that we not only feed everybody in California, you can shut off trucking lines, you know, good luck to everybody else, But you can cut off trucking lines to the rest of the country, but that just means more food for us. California is fat. We will feed ourselves. We are the sixth largest economy in the world, and unfortunately, it's owned by goons at the moment. But just like homeless people took over our sidewalks, I think that if the majority plants food all over the streets, it will not be regulated, just like homeless people on the streets aren't regulated. If they start regulating food and not homelessness, that's just another way for people to start thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it sounds like a good idea. Where do you think America is going to be by 2025?
That's a good question. Elizabeth, you want to go first?
Gridlock, but I want to just iterate that I, you know, you painted a kind of a dismal picture, and factual, but I still think that there are a lot of good people out there, and I think we will rise to the occasion like we do with every disaster. We help each other. I was thinking about, you know, when the truckers got together and started doing their convoy here. There were, and it wasn't like publicized, but I got a lot of videos that came through of these guys were traveling and camping, and they had the most wicked barbecues. They had just truckloads full of monstrous steaks that were given to them from ranchers. People rallied together to help these guys for a common cause. They didn't need, you know, PayPal shut down. They didn't need it because they had people helping them. We as a species, we are, you know, it's our natural inclination to help and to care about people. I don't think it's ever going to get as Mad Max as what you had kind of like put out there. I think we're going to be resilient and get through it. We're going to figure something out, and we're not going to just, you know, steal each other's babies and dogs and eat them. It's not going to be that because we're not animals. The very reason that we don't rise up and have a revolution in the streets of the militia is because we are well mannered people.
Regular.
We're well mannered. That we don't have that animalistic instinct to just go out and kill and attack the nation. You know, it isn't. I don't think our society is going to disintegrate like that. There's more good people than wild Indians out there. Like you see what goes on in Chicago. That's where I'm at. You couldn't pay me to go downtown Chicago because it's just nuts. But it's not like that out in the suburbs, and it's not like that everywhere in Chicago. I really do think that we can and will come together and help each other in a time of need.
Do you want to quickly answer the question of where do you think we're going to be in, what was it, Joe, 2025?
Yeah, 2025.
In just about 3 years, I think, unfortunately, we'll probably be right where we are now, kind of like a stalemate of constant crisis looming without any real solution, because it's only going to be 3 years. I think we might be maybe going in a good direction, but I don't think it's all magically going to be changed.
Why do you feel that way? With Biden having signed something like, why do you feel that way? With Biden having signed about 53 executive orders, he doesn't know where he is. Kamala Harris is cackling all the time.
Oh, well, because we'll probably get a red wave, and we get the good guys in office, but they can't change things that fast. That's why I'm saying we're going to be kind of like in a stalemate of not much has changed. We're still be fighting over ridiculous things. I think it might be status quo. That's what I'm saying. It's 3 years.
Okay.
It'll be different people.
All right.
it
That's
might
worst
be, you
case
know,
scenario for me.
Yeah.
What he's saying?
That, for me, that's worst case scenario.
What's the worst case scenario?
That nothing changes. It's going to take a lot to get things to change. It's going to take people's attitudes and actions to change. You can't just magically change
Hearts
it by
minds.
Just having the politics. The politicians really don't fucking do anything. It's how we interact in our daily lives. But I don't think we're going to go – it's not going to be like off the deep end into like a Mad Max movie in 3 years. I think we're going to be probably status quo, still wanting to get things in the right direction. There's going to be a huge group of people that are going to be fighting over stupid shit, just like now.
And you think there's going to be a red wave, and you think the Republicans, who have a history of being rhinos, are going to change their spots and make America good again?
No, I said we're going to have status quo. Nothing's going to change. We're going to be right where we are, fighting over the same ridiculous things. I don't think anything's going to change, actually, in 3 years, except the faces.
Okay, can I go next?
Sure.
Okay. I think that in the next 3 years, which has, you know, I started this mission on 2018. I think in the next 3 years, the three resources, and that's food, news, and health. And, you know, I've said this before the pandemic. I've been working on this since before the pandemic, and I do really believe that a food shortage is not going to be what brings down society. I think a food shortage is going to be, in my opinion, what helps to bring society together, because everybody has to eat. You know, and so here, like I said, low-hanging fruit, Southern California, all over California, is where most people get their food from this country. I understand food shortages, but California's fine. We're going to be fine. And we've been pushing an agenda of taking back food here for a very long time. We're going to win. We're going to be able to feed ourselves. I really hope that the news, you know, food news and health of me spreading this gospel of planting your own food, whether you're in Los Angeles or New York or Boston or, you know, or Alabama, you know, it doesn't matter. Figure out what you can, you know, figure out how to grow your own food. Take back food, news, mm-hmm. and health. And that's where I see us by 2025 is, you know, well on our way, if not completely taken over, the resources of food, news, and health. That's my plan.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. Every Sunday, Seeds of Change, 3 to 6 Pacific time. All right, sorry.
To plant those seeds. And, you know, here, I'm in Chicago. We're getting a lot of homeschooling pods going right now, and people are up in arms over what's this school you're going to be like, are they going to bring the masks back? Well, instead of freaking out, they're putting out, here, we've got so many openings in this, there's lots of alternatives for going back into that hellhole of school and masking, if that's what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
So we're slowly going in the other direction. But like in 3 years, I bet we're still going to be fighting over the same things. I don't know that we're going to be able to collectively snap our fingers, but there's still that slow trickle of people who are just like, okay, we're going to do this instead. You can do that. We'll be over here. Don't bother us. It's going to be a slow turn. And I think, you know, people who are – there's a group of people who will always just be watching TV and ordering Taco Bell delivered to their door. They don't care. There's the bunch of people who like things the status quo. Then there's the group who are just – they don't want this anymore. And we are an intelligent species, and we figure it out how to do it our way. That's what Americans do, right? And growing your own food, prepping, you know, getting,
yeah.
you know, your community together, knowing your neighbors. I mean, there's been enough crises that, you know who your neighbors are, and you we're not living like wild animals. We have our communities and our people. And even, you know, we rise to the occasion. We've got churches that are feeding. We have masses of people that don't have work, and they're feeding them. You know, we're helping each other instead of, you know, it's not going to be survival of the toughest. It's like we are coming together and helping and hopefully building so it's going to be better. I think,
yeah.
Calling it out for what it is. The emperor has no clothes. Nobody's believing this shit anymore. This is a recession. They've even taken and they've changed the word of definition. They've redefined what a definition is. It's like, oh, sorry, no. You're not going to try to make this illusion. Your lies mean nothing. We're not changing the word of a definition.
Exactly.
Just to see if your what you say a recession is. We know what a recession, it's a fucking depression, not a recession. That was the big joke.
You're right, yeah.
We're in a depression. We've been in a depression in 2008. We have no fucking money. Our money is worthless. We need to figure it out.
My great-grandmother was born in 1910, and we always saved tinfoil and bacon grease and all of this. There are, you know, I'm not okay.
Yep.
So this is what I'm saying: that there's mm-hmm. a fork in the road for sure, Joe. You either
mm-hmm.
stay and fight, or you leave. And this is a daily struggle debate with me and my husband. Like he is like, can we just go on a mountain? Can we just go and live in a mountain? And you know, to me. I feel like my community is worth saving. I may be wrong, and that's what I said. I am staking my life on this. You know,
yeah.
I do realize that I'm staking my life on this. And with virtually 60 seconds left, I would like to let Joe have the last word.
No, nothing else to say. So you two guys enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I called in about an hour ago, but nobody picked up. So it'd be
oh,
nice.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
Well, we'd love to have you back next week, and we could talk a little bit
definitely.
More.
Definitely.
I really do think that, you know, if you run, there's nowhere to run to. You have to stand and fight your ground wherever it may be. If you don't like what you're seeing, you try to change it, and you try to change it within yourself. Within your neighbors, you find there's plenty of people around here that pulled their kids out of school, and they're not living this nonsense. And I'm like, I'm loving this. This
yeah,
is great.
Absolutely.
You know, so that right there is a win.
Here too.
You
this
know?
Is, yeah. All right,
yeah.
We're at 10 seconds.
So
I love you all.
I think we're
going
to be
okay in
2025.
All right. Good night, guys.
All right. Good night.
Good
Thanks,
night.
Joe.
Thank you for.
God bless.
All right. Love you all. Please share this video if you can. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Love you too, man.